Hello and welcome to another Cage Club Revisited. This is episode 42, City of Angels, from 1998? 1999. When's this movie from? 98. This is the movie immediately following Face Off, immediately following his action trilogy. I am Joey Lewandowski.
And I'm Mike Manzi.
If you want to hear our original episode, I think we were probably guest list for, you can go back to episode 31 of Cage Club Prime, coming off that high of Action Week into this...
His cool-down movie.
Lull?
He's cooling off in this one, you know what I mean? Like, he was just running around with a lot of explosions for a while, and now he's just going to sit on stuff that's kind of high up.
So this is closing out our month of love here in February, because we did Zandali, the most romantic.
Why isn't everyone talking about that all the time?
Movie that Cage has ever done. Now we're doing City of Angels, which again is not very romantic, but fits in that theme. Next month, we've already decided we're going to do, because March is a weird month weather-wise, we're doing sort of, in a weird sense, a month of weather. So next month's movies, not sure of the order yet, are going to be The Humanity Bureau and
Frozen Ground. Because one is sort of like a desert landscape and really warm, and the other is a very cold ice landscape.
Actually, I'm making a judgment call here. The first movie, the next one we're going to do is The Frozen Ground, starring Nicolas Cage, John Cusack, Vanessa Hudgens, 50 Cent.
You got to work your way up to
Dean Winters.
To Humanity Bureau again. I got that one on Blu-ray, though. This year, you know, with Mom and Dad, I started buying the Blu-rays, but now 4K Cage exists. I have 4K Knowing in 4K, so that's great.
Yeah, and Lord of War is about to come out in 4K, so we'll be doing those sooner rather than later. But we have the City of Angels DVD now, because we are in the 90s, firmly in the 90s. So if you want to get it ready, we're going to hit play movie on the menu in 3, 2, 1, play. And let's see where this puts us. Here we go. Warner Brothers. So if you want to go to cageclub.me/games, download a Cage Club movie bingo card, that would be good. You can play along with us. We're going to be figuring out, see if either of us win.
It's a little early. I'm having trouble, like, memorizing my card.
So the sad news, I mean, this movie is based on Wings of Desire.
Yes.
And the star, I think, of Wings of Desire just died, the guy who was from Downfall.
Oh, wow, that's right. I saw that. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and Peter Falk in that movie as himself. That's the main other thing I remember.
So we have Cage, Cage is an angel in this movie.
Early Cage.
He looks
right off
very
the bat.
Gaunt. He looks like death.
Yeah, good call. He almost looks like the Reaper.
William
Sadler.
Want
him to grab a base and start.
I'm going to say wacky wardrobe, not for him specifically, but when everyone is just in all black, I think it's a very odd, specific choice.
That's from the original. That's a carryover, like in Wings of Desire, the angels were very nondescript. They just look like people in trench coats. And
I did like your tweet about the hotel full of kids singing, where you just hashtag City of Angels. I also crossed off on my bingo card adaptation and religion or spirituality.
Oh, there you go.
Because those are for sure.
It's like immediate.
I'm also going to cross off Cage Club Podcast Network crossover, because this movie does star Meg Ryan, who we will get to sooner rather than later.
Oh, yes.
On Hanks for the Memories.
Oh, so... It's funny, I was watching Frasier, waiting for you to get over here, and Frasier was trying to rent a video at the video store, and on his way out, I spied Turner and Hooch
on VHS.
Wow. In Frasier. I thought that was funny.
You will get there, too, soon in Hanks for the Memories.
Let's see. Oh, man, I know he's going to do a bunch of this stuff. I'm going to get a two-in-one here. I'm going to get Cage Compromises of Woman and Awkward Sex Scene at the same time.
So they're for sure going to go to the beach by the end of the movie.
Oh, totally.
If there's a montage, which I don't remember if there is, I will win. I don't know if I have a path to victory otherwise, but if there's a montage, the girl's dead. The girl's now with Cage.
There's actually some pretty good filmmaking, like, you know,
are
I think...
you God? Look at that camera angle, just how powerful he is.
I definitely feel like there's a bunch of people that probably feels like this is super romantic, this movie, in some way. I mean, I know it deals with death and loss and grief, but...
I just realized we had Jordan, Paul, and Clark on this episode, because we all talked about how terrible that scene was where Meg Ryan is in the bathtub and Cage is, like, sitting there awkwardly, remember?
Because she was like,
there's this one scene, and I was like, I bet I know what it is.
They don't have the Charlize Keanu chemistry of bathtub, nor the Keanu...
Rachel Weisz
chemistry, yeah.
No, but who does, really? This is a movie that I think you're right in saying that it's supposed to be romantic, or people think of it as romantic. Not necessarily.
No, not for me per se, but
that's such a cool shot.
And the original,
who directed this?
Isn't really either. Like, it's more about the, if I recall, it's like this one angel kind of falls in love with humanity in general, and maybe focuses on some trapeze artists. Speaking of Jordan, this circus in that original one is a predominant part, like all the people and performers. And he's like, yeah, I want to be part of humanity now, and does the dive.
This guy is directed by Brad, Andre Brouwer, aka Captain Raymond.
I just started watching, so.
Brad Silberling directed this.
Same.
He mostly does TV now. He did one episode of No Tomorrow, which I loved.
So, I mean, I want to say, I want to knock off my bad CGI thing,
oh,
but like, this
Casper.
Is actually pretty good. Really? Another ghost movie, or another sort of death movie.
So it is, it's...
It's not bad, though. Like,
I mean, it's very clearly green screen.
Yeah.
But it's
it
not
could be
bad.
Much worse.
Oh, definitely.
So I'm not going to give me that.
Casper, of particular note to the Cage Club Podcast Network, because it was the pilot episode for Wistful Thinking.
Now that, on the other hand.
Bad CGI.
Yes, that was an early Wistful Thinking. Oh, here we go.
It was the first episode of Wistful Thinking.
Now we're getting some real angel imagery stuff. Now, I recall from the Marco episode that they took some very unnecessary risks during this movie.
Oh, right,
remember
yes.
About, like, getting shots up high when it wasn't necessary, and... Oh, and, doesn't Nick Offerman show up?
Does he?
Sans stash at the end of this? Yeah, like, when Cage jumps, he yells at him, like, hey, buddy, like, how, what's up with you?
They're just at Dodger Stadium, so this has a couple different, you know, Cage connections here. We had Yankee Stadium in It Could Happen to You.
Mm-hmm.
We had the angel Don Cheadle in The Family Man,
right.
Which is coming out 2 years after this, right?
So, and we had a theory about Zondali during the first watch that maybe Buscemi was an angel, possibly.
So I wrote about, I don't know, because I read my, because for the first, the original run.
I dream that's happening to me all the time, my Cage angel on my
shoulder. Because, you know, in the first run of Cage Club, in addition to doing 3 episodes a week because we were crazy, we also wrote reviews or did write-ups of each movie, each episode. And I wrote about how Buscemi and Cage were like God and the devil. And I totally forgot that. But it was this through line of, like, you know, Cage clearly is the devil, but maybe Buscemi is God, weirdly.
He
but,
kept
you know.
Showing up, like, dressed in all white, long Jesus-looking hair and stuff, right? Like,
although it took... So Zondali came out in, what, 90? 91? It took 28 years, but Steve Buscemi is playing God now.
That's right, yeah.
In the TBS show Miracle Workers.
Oh, Beach.
Beach.
Didn't take as long as I thought. I know we get back there.
Now, I don't think we had a montage yet. We sort of had some quick cuts.
We had a little angel montage for sure.
Oh, then what, I win.
Oh, you won already?
Yeah, what's the time?
Damn me. Let's see here. 6 minutes?
6:10.
Wow, that's a new record.
So I have montage.
Wow, that's a nice shot.
Wacky wardrobe.
That's a great shot.
Adaptation, because this is adapted from Wings of Desire. Religion or Spirituality and the Beach.
Wow. So I'm not going to be able to tell if he's accentuating necessarily. We'll see, but...
Andre Brouwer looks so young there.
Yeah, and yet, like, in the same way as Cage, they look the same.
He just looks like his face is a little heavier, but just factor of age.
He just looks a little, stronger or something. I don't know. It's weird.
More
but I think, like, you're right. They must have all lost some weight for this role to look more, like, gaunt and, you know, like, death and stuff. I think you're on to something there.
So I never watched Homicide, Life on the Streets, but there is an episode last year in Brooklyn Nine-Nine, which I guess would be season 5, maybe, where it's called The Box.
All right.
Where it's basically, apparently, like, it's an homage to a classic Homicide, or, like, it's, because he, you know, Andre Brouwer plays this, like, really hard-nosed, you know, gritty, great detective in that show. And here he's, you know, the captain. He doesn't really do much. He's just sort of, like, overseeing for a lot of the episodes. But this is, like, he's really into the detective mode, and it's great. So when you get to The Box, and I think season 5, if this is season 6 that's on now, it's season 5. It's whatever a season before the current season. Foodie Films.
Uh-huh. Meg Ryan sneaking in the back of the hospital for what? Maybe it's just quicker. Maybe she just figured out one day, like, oh, I could save so much more time if I go through the kitchen.
This, you know, every time I see a locker, I don't know why. Like, a locker in a movie, I think of Independence Day.
Oh, really?
I think I know why. Because, so in Independence Day, you know, Will Smith showing
the ring,
his buddy,
the dolphin
ring.
Yeah, his
and then
buddy.
They smash cut to the strip club.
Right.
And my dad, when we saw it in theaters, my dad was just like, oh, no, 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 no. And, like, because I was, like, 8 or whatever at the time, which I guess is a little... I mean, that, they're not showing nudity. Like,
no,
he's
no,
in
no.
full
yeah,
underwear.
Yeah,
but,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
He was just like, no, 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 no.
Like, that came out of nowhere.
So I think that was, like, burned into my brain, like...
But that was Harry Connick Jr. It's not just some guy.
I still... Okay, I was thinking about this when the Contenders did their second episode, and you mentioned... I didn't catch it when we recorded it, but on one episode of something recently, you were talking about Harry Connick Jr. could be some good in something or whatever. And if you put three guys in a line, I don't know what Harry Connick Jr. looks like. I don't know who he is.
No? Oh,
poor Harry. I've seen multiple movies with him in it, but I don't know. I don't know who he is.
He's not like. I mean, that's the thing. Like, he tried to have a bit of an acting career, and he's not bad. I feel like he just got miscast in a bunch of stuff. But he was more of like a crooner, a singer. Like, you know, he's way more of like strictly that kind of thing. Back in the '90s, I felt in '80s even when you could still just be known for that. I guess I don't know. Like, it was weird. Like, he was like a lounge act.
Well, check out For the Conic of It All. Apparently, a podcast that's not happening, but also kind of happening. Here on the Cage Club Podcast Network. But you mentioned on an episode we recorded about Harry Connick Jr. in Copycat, and then they did Copycat.
And then they did Copycat, you know?
Which, you know, nobody was happy about except for Tobin a little bit, but... This reminds me... Now, this is, you know... Do you think Doctor Strange took this
I just watched
this?
That last night. And you
Although
know what
I'm sure in, like, in lots of actual operating rooms they have music
playing. I've seen that a lot, like, in... In the theater, the surgeon gets to put on whatever music makes him or her more comfortable. But I will give this and Doctor Strange a lot of credit for having busy hospitals.
Yeah.
Like, that's a thing. Like, even in as much as I truly love these movies, the Happy Death Day movies, it's like the most barren hospital on earth. And then I just watched Only Lovers Left Alive. And granted, he's going there at, like, the middle of the night. But still, hospitals are, like, always busy. So
well, I think it's the same. It's similar to how like sometimes you watch a movie with New York City and there's like one car parked on the street and it's like where the fuck in New York are
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I think they're all trying to go for atmosphere too with those movies.
Oh yeah,
right?
I know, but
much
still
more and everything.
But yes, I totally agree because I watched last night. Isn't It Romantic? Which I don't know if you saw my little Twitter diatribe.
Yeah, because I can't decide.
Oh, do not see it.
Okay, good.
It's atrocious.
Well, I want to see it when it comes to. Video because I'm curious about how they tried to pull it off.
So here's
I like the premise. I think the premise is sound.
The premise is awesome.
Yeah.
So here's the spoilers about Isn't It Romantic?
All right.
So Rebel Wilson has that's belying the premise. She has a fine life. She just doesn't realize that she has a fine life.
Got it.
She's got a good job. She's underappreciated at work, but she's got, you know, a best friend at work, played by Betty Gilpin. She's got a guy, Adam Devine, at work who has a crush on her. She just doesn't realize.
Oh, I love
it. Very clear from the beginning that he's in love with her. And so one day on her way back from work, she gets mugged, hits her head, wakes up in a rom-com.
Right. Yes.
And so this guy who directed it, Todd somebody, said that he watched every rom-com from, like, 98 to 2015 to, like, prepare. Like,
Should have done a podcast about it.
I know. Well, he made a movie instead, which I guess, you know, is more important.
No, but from what I hear, he should have done a podcast about it instead.
Side detour. So Liam Underwood of the Nerd on Nerd podcast, he's been on a couple of my podcasts with Joe too. He's on a new show with this woman Amanda who lives in Ohio called Criterion Crack, where once a month watch a Criterion movie,
cool.
Go through that. One of the podcasts on their podcast network, I just heard, I was listening to their episode today, is about one or two women going through rom-coms in chronological order and seeing how they evolve over time. So like that exists already. So sorry, Todd, you'll just have to stick to making Hollywood blockbuster movies starring knockoff Hemsworths and Adam Devine.
I'm sure he'll get another shot.
Anyway, she wakes up in a rom-com. Suddenly, everything that she knows, like all the cliches from movies, and they point them out. They're like, oh, look, it's my gay best friend. Oh, look, it's Betty Gilpin who hates me at work because they're two women. But it's all, like, they don't do anything with it.
Uh-huh.
It's all just like, look, this is a thing you know. Look, this is another thing you know. And they just say it.
She doesn't have to, like, sort of use her knowledge of rom-coms to navigate that world
at all.
Because that's what it should be. Like, the people in the world shouldn't be aware they're in the rom-com. Like, they shouldn't be, hey, I'm your best friend.
So they're not. But, like, so there's... Like, you know, they talk about, I think...
extreme facial expression.
She sees him. They talk about in the movie, you know... Rebel Wilson saying, like, because step back. Betty Gilpin is obsessed with rom-coms in the real world. So she's dressed down. Like, you know Betty Gilpin from Glow?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't watch Glow, but I haven't seen it yet, but I know her, yes.
Gorgeous.
Yes.
So she has dyed mousy brown hair and, like, has watched rom-coms all day. And, like, she's still beautiful because she's Betty Gilpin.
Of course.
But in this world, she's, like, unloved and she's wearing, like, baggy clothes and everything. Yeah. And she's, like, talking about this. And Rebel Wilson has this whole diatribe, which is kind of cool. In a sense, where she sort of deconstructs rom-coms, and it's just like, you know, why doesn't the gay best friend ever have a thing to do? Like, why is it just like, he's just there to help her,
yeah,
right? And like, all this different stuff, and it's like, point out like all these flaws. And then you get into the world, and there's jokes about, which, this is one of the better jokes, I guess, but like, you know, he drives her to work, and she's like, is this how you get to work? He's like, it would be if I had a job, but that's it. Like, they don't do anything with it. They're just like, look, I'm aware that I don't have anything to do, but like, the character is saying it.
Yeah, that.
But it doesn't have any consequence within the plot of the movie.
Right.
And so, it is just pointing out flaws in rom-coms. So, we talked about on the recent What Am I Chewing that I was on.
Okay.
Where we were talking about how, like, there was that movie The Baxter, which basically did what They Came Together tried to do, where it's like sort of a send-up of rom-coms.
But I do love They Came Together, I have to admit.
So They Came Together is good. It's fine. It's good. The Baxter, I think, is the better version of it.
Oh, I still haven't seen that.
Baxter is great. But it's those kind of movies where, like, it takes the conventions of the genre and, like, sends it up. Or just, like, you know, like Jordan Coward just did with Scream. Like, it takes a horror movie and makes fun of it, kind of, but also does it lovingly, knowingly, whatever, right? And so Isn't It Romantic is just like, hey, look, this is a thing you know. Hey, look, this is a thing you know.
Yeah, it sounds,
and that's it.
It sounds more like a parody film. Like a, it sounds more like a scary movie or one of those kinds of things, you know, leaning in more in that direction, where it's just, yeah, just pointing out the obvious instead of using the obvious and, like, working it into the plot or something. I don't know.
And so I didn't want to leave the like 15 or 20 minutes in, I was like, oh, this movie is definitely
really?
Not
you were going to walk?
I was going to walk, and I was just like, I've never walked out of a movie. This movie didn't deserve my first walkout ever.
Okay.
So I just went to the back of the theater and I was just on my phone the entire time. Because I was just like, I don't give a shit about what's going on the screen. And I was just, you know, texting. I was on Twitter. I was on Instagram. And I was like, because I don't want to disrupt people with my screen. But I was like, I do not care. And I want to know how, because I felt like it's the kind of movie that, in theory, everything could come together. There could be like this whole, like, twist.
Yeah.
But the twist, the reveal, is that she just has to find that she loves herself.
Oh,
and by loving herself, she's able to sort of wake up and be in the real world, and then she realizes that Adam Devine has a crush on her, and then they fall in love, and then it ends with a rom-com song and dance number to end the movie.
Great.
And that's it.
Oh.
And it sucks. Like, I don't want to say, you know, because people like what you like, and you can like what you like, but this movie just feels like it takes a really interesting premise, like a character being self-aware that she's in a movie, and then doesn't do anything with it.
That's too bad.
And it's a real shame because the premise, because I was excited for this movie because I was like, this could be cool.
Yeah, it
and
looks funny.
It's not.
That's too bad. Oh, well.
Especially given the fact that this same weekend, Happy Death Day to You and Alita Battle Angel both came out.
Yeah.
And they are both great.
Yeah, I love Happy Death Day. I still have to see Alita maybe tonight.
Oh,
I'll get there.
But, so good.
So I walked out of one movie only ever in my life, and it was a free screening. It was a preview screening. It was Bernie Mac and Sam Jackson. I think it was called Soul Men.
Okay.
And they, like, got their little...
Is that, like, late 90s?
No, that was, like, late 2000s.
Really?
Yeah, right. Yeah. I was at Cablevision at the time, and I remember seeing, like, this guy I worked with there. And the next day...
Hold on one second. I'm sorry to interrupt, because I just went on a 10-minute diatribe about bullshit, but... Here, again, this is sort of, again, Family Man-ish. They're in convenience.
Oh, yeah, I was going
to
mention if
with
that's
an angel.
Don Cheadle, but it's not. Yeah.
You know.
Totally was going to get there.
Okay,
but,
so, yeah.
So the next day, and the next day, the guy at work was like, hey, so did you like the movie? I was like, that's the first movie I ever walked out of, and I only walked out because I didn't have to pay for it. He's like, yeah, my girlfriend's like... is that your friend? Maybe he's going to get something to eat. And I was like, and he goes, no, he's leaving. He's not coming back. I know him.
No, yeah, it was...
That was rough to... that was rough. I mean, mainly because I guess at the time, they were using a song in that movie that was, like, kind of felt important to me, and it just felt like, on top of everything else going on in this movie, I cannot sit through it.
It was just not... You know, I almost walked out of Kick-Ass 2. Like, that was the first movie where I was like, oh, this is
aggressively
bad. I could see
that. I just wanted it to keep trying to get better and redeem itself by the end, and it just couldn't.
So the problem, it's not really a problem, but like with MoviePass, which I had for Kick-Ass 2, or with AMC A-List, I'm not paying for these movies, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's not like I invested $12, and I also feel like if I'm right in my assumptions, you could go to the cash register and be like, look, that was very clearly not for me. Like, I'm sorry, but, like, can you just give me, like, a voucher for a movie or something? Mm-hmm. Like, if you walk out in 15 minutes, be like, look, that's... They're going to want you to come back.
Understanding, yeah.
But here, I mean, I didn't pay for it. I could have just walked out and been like, whatever. Because I'm not going to see another movies this week. The three is going to reset for next weekend. So it's like, it doesn't matter. But I'm also like, it was intriguing. Like, it was an interesting enough premise that I was like, I want to see if this gets better. Did not.
You know what? I was really glad that they were able to build off the premise for was with Happy Death Day to You. I was like, oh shit! Like, this is great. Like, we're like genre hopping now,
which I love because I've read things about how like it could be you could set that thing up and just have a different story altogether where it's the same day over and over again. You know what I mean? Like, where it's not Shree, it's not these people. But I like that they stuck with the characters.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that they sort of had an explanation.
Yeah.
And that I think it makes me like the first. I mean, the first one's already one of my all-time favorite
movies. It's so much fun. Like, I feel like one and two are just one. Now it's like the Kill Bill thing. It's just one long movie now. Like, it's all still going, you know? And
yeah.
I feel like they could really do anything with it where they could go back and do, like, you know, like they mentioned in this, Back to the Future 2, but they could still go back into the first two movies with the third movie if they wanted to, or they could take it with an all new character and spin it off, and it could go huge. Like, they could, it could go so much bigger if they wanted to, but I just love the scale. I love the small scale, big idea of it. It's really fun.
I kind of wonder, because I mean, like, I wrote in my Letterboxd review of it that, like, because I love the first one so much, this is the kind of movie where I'm going to be more predisposed to love it than the normal person, and also more predisposed to thinking there's no reason for this to exist. You know what I mean? Because it feels like, because I love the first one so much, I'm like, I don't want to ruin it, but also if it's good, I'm going to be like, oh, I love this. And so it's this weird kind of, you know...
Yeah, I'm just glad they didn't... That it's sort of more of the same, but it's not. Like, it's a whole... It opens up a whole new perspective on the first movie. Like, they really try and sort of go with a different genre, I feel. Like, it becomes more of a sci-fi film.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
You know? And I love, the roommate character. Like, he's great, and, like, all the new characters are fun, and...
Did you call him Morimoto, too? Or would you call him...
Oh, Vegeta? No. It wasn't in my mind. But I was just really glad, like, that they picked that character and they were trying to build off of that. And I wasn't upset that we, you know, went more on with Tree and everything. I thought that was actually kind of funny. And next time it'd be great if they were sort of all stuck together or something. We'll see.
You know, I just love that they... It was a remix of the first movie, essentially, right? Like, it was... Because that's the whole thing. Like, it's the same things happening, but it's a different... Spoilers, I guess, different reality or whatever. So.
Right, yeah.
So she has to decide.
Well, that was a whole other thing. Like, now they could go, like, dimension hopping.
Like, there's one of my favorite all-time episodes, or all-time favorite episodes of Futurama, is called the Farnsworth Parabox.
Oh, that's a great one,
where
they're
literally jumping from, and they go to the dimension, or like, there's the two dimensions, and like, everyone's just like, color shifted, like, Bender is gold, whatever. And then they go to one where they're all just like, you know, all possessed by Hypnotoad,
bobbleheads.
Yeah.
The one is, have you seen anything? And they're like, we haven't seen anything ever. And they have no eyes. That's a good one.
And then, you know, that episode ends by them, like, pulling each other's universes back through each other.
Yeah.
So they own their own universe in their dimension.
I thought that's where this one was going to go, is that she was going to keep waking up in another dimension also. Like, everything was going to be slightly different, and she'd have to, like, sort of find a way back and stuff. But, no, that's definitely somewhere that they could take it, though. I think that would be fun. Like, that would be a great final sort of chase montage if they were being chased by the killer through different dimensions and, like, you know, they see themselves, but they look totally different. Or,
I mean, I think that's where you go with three, right? You have multiple trees.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. Yeah.
But, because I thought, so what
the branches keep splitting.
Because they have the main
the
kid, right, who, like, he's there. He's, I guess there was the two or whatever. Like, the first version, he finds himself, right? I guess this is all spoilers, but early spoilers. But I thought the real killer was going to be Tree.
So did I.
And it wasn't. It makes sense within the world why it's not, but you know.
But it still can be one day.
Still could be. Absolutely.
Oh, I forgot he was in this, Friends. right? Dennis Franz or whatever.
Who? What's he from? He looks familiar.
He was from like one of those NYPD shows.
Oh, okay.
And I think he ended up passing away.
Dennis Franz, NYPD Blue. No, he's still alive.
No, really?
Yep. He's not acting anymore. Oh. He was in 261 episodes of NYPD
Maybe
Blue.
That's why I thought he passed away, because he just sort of vanished.
He was
just
the lead in NYPD Blue.
He killed his career by just walking away, maybe. Oh, look at Cage following with such serious intent.
He was in Die Hard 2 as Carmine Lorenzo. 49 episodes of Hill Street Blues.
Oh, that's right. Say hello to my brother. Merry Christmas. Remember that part when he gets into like an argument with the parking cop at the airport in the beginning, and then it turns out to be Dennis Franz's brother later, and they need his help, and he's like, gives John McClane this look, okay, it's me.
I haven't seen that in a while.
I know, I haven't either. I don't especially like that one so much, but I think it starts really strong.
Oh, I think that's my second favorite one. I wrote a lot of words. I spent a lot of time. I sent this to Kyle, and Kyle was defending.
Oh, that's so good. Look at that. That's close to, like, face waterfalling. It's close, but...
It is close.
Well, you sent that whole thing to Kyle?
My diehard dissertation about why I hate 3.
Your dihardtation?
Yeah, and I like 2, I like 4. I don't like 3.
That's crazy, because I only like 1 and 3, and I could just, like, throw the rest out the window.
I just don't think 3 is a diehard movie. I think that's the problem.
I mean,
it wasn't originally.
But that's neither was 2. And, you know, part 1 was based off a sequel to a book.
The Detective, starring Frank Sinatra.
Yes, but, I mean, to me, it's all about expansion of character, not containment of incident.
I have to watch 3 again to sort of see if I give it a fair shake. But I've seen it twice, I think.
Because I don't understand you don't like 3, but you like 4, because 4 isn't stuck in, like, a building or anything like the first 2, you know? It's like he's running around the whole East Coast.
I remember. I have a whole thing.
And at least 3, he's just stuck in New York City. I was like, well, this is good. Like, he's still on the island. It's more like Escape from New York, but like kind of not. And it's also got, like, you know, that mismatch, him and Sam Jackson. I thought that was, they had good chemistry, but I don't know. We'll get there one day, perhaps next 4th of July for Third Time's a Charm.
Wait, what's this 4th of July?
It's probably going to be Spider-Man 3 if everything goes according to plan, because the new Spider-Man movie comes out like that weekend, I think, or around that time. I don't know exactly.
Oh, Die Hard 4 was based on an article.
There you go. About the fire sale or whatever.
Farewell to Arms.
The thing that the bad guy pulls off where he, like, puts the internet up for sale or something. I don't know what he does. He locks everyone out. He gets, like, the nuclear codes. He pulls a real Ultron on us.
I'm reading why I... So... I like, so this is, again, this is me writing, you know, 8 or 9 years ago, that I like that Die Hard 4, they use technology to do their bidding like they did in Die Hard 2. It reminded me of one of our favorite movies, Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, because it was him passing on his thing to a young
gun. Justin Long?
I think so.
Oh, I don't, I don't not like Justin Long, but I found him kind of irritable in that movie. I thought it was going to be Winstead. I thought it was like, oh, John McClane's going to team up with his daughter in this
Lucy
movie.
Lucy McClane.
Yeah, and then it's like, no, she's going to get trapped in a fucking elevator for the entire movie. Bullshit.
I like that it takes place on the 4th of July weekend, because it feels...
That's the second movie that does. So did part 3. So, well. I don't... Like, it's a... I was like, wait, again? I'm pretty sure part 3. I mean, am I losing it? Does part 3 not take place on the 4th of July? Is it just a hot day in the summer?
I said the best Die Hard movies are ones where John McClane finds himself embedded in the action without being forced in. The most tense films are actually lacking in action, as the directors tend to let the action build gradually. Best bad guys are the ones who are known from the start. Every woman in the series is written in a very sexist fashion, and McClane is unbelievably technologically averse.
Let's see. Oh, I guess it's... I don't know. It doesn't mention it in this little wiki blurb, and I'm not really interested right now in reading anymore.
I talked about this is me being very woke back then, about how, like, I was like, you could argue that Holly McClane, Holly Gennaro, is a strong character, but, like, both she and the daughter, you know, Lucy, are, like, the way that they assert their independence is like, I'm Gennaro, not McClane. And then as soon as like shit goes wrong, they're like, just kidding, I'm McClane. And it's like, well,
yeah.
That's kind of
and they're
lazy.
Also both hostages. Like, you know, they both get held at gunpoint by the bad guy at
yeah.
the end of their movies.
And Holly doesn't do anything.
No, she's in part two. She's stuck on a plane the whole movie. She's like gonna die if John doesn't do his job.
I mean, she punches the journalist, which is cool, but
who is? That's the I think that's the EPA guy from Ghostbusters. I don't know. Anyway, that's weird that they carry that character over a bunch of times. Cage, you look so like intense in this movie. Has she found him irresistible yet? Probably. I'm going to mark it off anyway. I can't lose anymore.
No, you've already lost almost half an hour ago. 24 minutes ago. This movie is kind of longer. This is almost a 2-hour movie that we're watching that I've barely talked about. But finally, the most important element of what I feel defines a diehard film more than anything else is sort of two related parts where the action takes place and how McClane is put in that situation. First one was a perfect example of where that action takes place. He's visiting his wife at work, gets sucked into the drama that unfolds. He's pretty literally confined to one building. Second film has him pretty much confined to just one place as well, but an airport gives him more room to run around than a building does. Third film blows this open and leaves him free to run about New York City. And the fourth film blows this open even further as he traverses from New Brunswick to Camden to Washington, D.C. to Baltimore. But perhaps the more important part of the final qualifier is how he's put into the situation. Or, as I imagine the writer's saying, how can we get John McClane in this predicament? He finds himself in a building, finds himself in an airport, he's just there. Things happen around him. Cool. But then all of a sudden he's requested by name, he's sent to pick up a kid because in his senior detective, lame, too far of a stretch. Yeah, I think, so I guess in retrospect, I don't like 4 much, but I like it more than 3. Like, I thought it was more closely defined, but what a diehard movie was.
I hear you. They feel like it feels almost like a retry of 3, where they're like, okay, we can't have it. Like, it was kind of it was cool to be Gruber's brother, but we didn't really go far enough with that. So, like, let's have the villain like be this expatriate kind of tech wizard. Kind of updates it a little more. You know, we got the whole stuff going on in America at the time. They're trying to comment on with all that other kind of crap and. Yeah, I don't know. And then they're running around all over the place, and he's got a partner. You know, like that's the thing. That's this thing that they really, I guess, introduced in 3 that they kept going with 4, and then I never saw 5 with his son.
5's like, bad.
They go to Mother Russia,
and then I'm making a 6, I think, right?
Oh boy, just call it a day. Just die already. Die hard. Oh, empty hospital.
So not so busy down here. Although I feel like we are sort of in the recesses, the bowels of the hospital.
Yeah, and I have a feeling that like he's making it more like mysterious and supernatural at the moment, so he's not found.
Because he's choosing to reveal himself to her. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
I think it's a combination of things,
or
right?
She can
like
see
she
him.
Can, she has the sight. I think she has a sight. Now, are those flashing red lights behind her head a foreshadowing that she's going to get hit by a truck?
Is that what happens?
Yeah, she's on the bike, remember? And then she gets plowed into by the truck because she's not looking where she's going.
How many times have you seen this movie? Just once or more than once?
So I saw it once before we watched it, and I saw it when we watched it, and now I guess we're watching it now. So I guess
okay, so you saw it one more time than me.
Yeah, third time.
Third time's a charm.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Cage steals something. I'll cross that off.
Look how happy. Okay. Maybe this is the movie he speaks the least in?
And has the least costume changes, too, right?
Oh, I don't think he changes until the very end, right?
That's what I appreciate about Happy Death Day, too, that she finally got to change her outfit.
I was thinking Tree would be such an easy cosplay, because you just have the black yoga pants, and then you find that one t-shirt, yep. And then you can get a big blonde wig or something.
I mean, I don't think you should go as Tree.
No, not... I mean, obviously, like, certain demographic that would cosplay as her.
But then she, because I even like, oh, here we go.
Tub.
I'm going to cross off nudity, even though we don't see anything. It's, you know, suggested. Drinking a Heineken. Is it a Heineken? No, Rolling Rock.
Rolling Rock.
But I do like that even in the movie, she's like, let me get out of these clothes, and then I'll be right back. And then that's just like, every time it resets, she's in a different, like, cute outfit, which is nice.
Ugh. Oh my gosh, he is an exasperated, broken man.
Oh, absolutely. I don't know why he looks so miserable there, though. Like, because he's there by
because
choice.
Because he can't. He can't.
Oh, he's like he wants to be in the tub with her,
mm-hmm, and like he can't be physical with her. Look at that stare. What is that face?
He's real creepy.
It's amazing. So have you heard the chatter? And like I was kind of thinking about this before I actually saw the first article that popped up this week on it, that Jake Gyllenhaal might be trying to go for a little bit of Cage's title with crazy, extreme, and experimental performances in maybe not so great movies, but he's good in them, mixed with actual good performances in really good movies that he's done. So people are like, is he the next Cage? Like,
we've talked for a while about doing Gyllenhaal Anonymous.
I know, yeah, yeah. So it's just rekindled my interest in him. I've been seeing like all these GIFs of him and stuff online lately, and I haven't really been keeping up with his stuff.
Well, this all is bad.
Well, I still want to see it, and you know, wasn't he in another bad movie with like Amy Adams last year or something? But people said he was good, or
so,
something else.
I was actually—I don't know why—I was thinking about him on the drive up here. I was thinking about doing like a Jake Gyllenhaal Appreciation Month where I rewatch. It's all movies that I've seen before, but like rewatch Zodiac because I love it.
There's
rewatch
yep.
Nightcrawler because I love
those.
It.
Yeah,
rewatch Donnie Darko because I haven't seen it since college. And I want to see if it's
oh, I haven't seen
if
that
I like
in
it
like
or not.
10 years. Yeah.
So last year he was in The Sisters Brothers, which I did not really like. Which is that Western.
Oh, I still haven't seen it. I want to see it, though.
He was in Wildlife, which is kind of depressing, but he's very good in it.
I haven't seen that.
He was in, the year before, he was a Stronger, which is that Boston Marathon bombing movie with Tatiana Maslany.
Still haven't seen that.
Which
see?
Is really good. Like, Okja, he's in.
I saw that, yep.
He's in Life, which is bad.
Yeah, but, you know, it's bad, but it's not terrible.
He's in Nocturnal Animals, which was my
that's
least
the
favorite
one I was
movie
I was thinking of, okay. But how is he in that? Like,
I
that's
give
what...
a shit. Everything in that movie's terrible.
Oh, no, Joey...
Accident of Love, I haven't seen. Southpaw, which is the boxing movie. With,
yeah.
Is that Rachel McAdams?
And he gets ripped in that. That was supposed to be Eminem.
Spoilers. Spoilers, Rachel McAdams dies. And I was like, what's the point of watching
that?
Oh,
that's
movie
the
anymore?
Beginning of the movie,
yeah.
Right?
He was in Demolition, which is not good, but he's very good in it.
There we go. That looks
He was in Everest, which I did not see.
Oh, I liked Everest, but he's not in a lot of it. I'll just put it that way.
He's in Nightcrawler, which is great.
That's
he was in
amazing.
Enemy, which is great.
Yes, I like that a
where
lot.
He plays twins. He's in Prisoners, which is depressing as hell,
but
great.
Very good. Him and Hugh Jackman. What did I do like a British
and Paul Dano.
That's right.
He's in
Paul
End of Watch,
Dano.
Which is great.
Yes, that's amazing.
He's in Source Code, which is very good.
He's good. I don't, but he's good in
compared
it.
Compared to what Duncan Jones did
yes,
after
good
that.
Call. Okay, I'll give you that.
Because we start Moon.
Yeah.
Then we go to
Source
Code.
Yep.
Then we go to Warcraft. And then we go to
Mute. Mm-hmm. Which
he was in Love and Other Drugs, which haven't seen.
I saw that. That's the Anne Hathaway one where they're like naked half the movie together.
I know, and she's beautiful. He's in Prince of Persia, which I did not see. I
haven't seen that yet.
He's in Brothers, which I think I saw.
I don't. He's Brothers with Tobey Maguire.
Oh, Natalie Portman.
Toby's married to Natalie, and is he maybe he died?
Movie.
Yeah, because they think Toby died, so he moves in and becomes the new dad and starts sleeping. And then Toby shows up again. Surprise, I'm not dead.
He was in Rendition, which I have not seen.
I think
I
saw
with
that.
Reese Witherspoon and Peter Sarsgaard and Alan Arkin. He was in Zodiac that same year. He was in Jarhead, which I did not see.
I still haven't seen Jarhead, but there's
and this is where I'm starting to
sequels.
Not see the movies. Like Proof, I don't know what Proof is. Brokeback, I haven't seen.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. You know what's good is the Good Girl or something.
Jennifer Aniston?
Yeah, he's really good in that.
Day After Tomorrow with Annie
saw
Rossum,
that.
Which
yeah.
is, you know.
That was like he had a blockbuster phase, I guess.
Jiminy Glick in La La Land,
oh.
He plays himself.
Well, Jiminy Glick, anything is incredibly great. So.
And then in 2002, Moonlight Mile, I haven't seen. Highway, I haven't seen. Good Girl, I saw back on HBO.
Yeah.
I remember, I was like, ooh, Jennifer Aniston in a sexy role.
And it's got...
it's not really a sexy role.
Steve Brule. What did I call it? Shout out to P.S. I Love Hoffman guys with...
John C. Reilly?
Yeah, John C. Reilly's in it.
So
he's
he
husband.
Comes back in Sister's Brother.
Sister Brothers.
2001, Bubble Boy, which I did not see. Donnie Darko, which I've only seen once, Lovely and Amazing. October Sky, Homegrown, Dangerous Woman, Josh and Sam, City Slickers.
Oh, yeah, that's when
he's
was
only
very
been, I mean,
young boy.
Only, but he's only been in 54 things.
Oh.
Maggie Gyllenhaal has been in how many? 47. A lot
oh,
of the Deuce, Kindergarten Teacher.
He's completely revealed himself to her.
You know, I've been talking to Brian recently about things, because he I don't remember who he mentioned, but he said like he wanted to do something. He's like, but I've realized, I told myself, it doesn't need to be a podcast. I could just watch the guy's movies. I was like, yeah.
Yeah,
that's
totally.
Very aware.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That's why I didn't. I mean, like, look, like, I don't know why I decided to do what I'm doing instead of a Godzilla podcast, but it's like, I don't need to do a podcast just to rewatch all those movies. Or any other, like, people I want to marathon.
Should, we should transition our podcast network from being actor filmographies to just watching the same movies. You could just do Godzilla forever.
I was thinking that. I was thinking that because they're going to keep making them. Anyway, yeah.
Do you think that new one looks good? I watched the trailer.
Yeah, I think it looks great. Uh-huh.
I just want to
see.
I'm
very excited.
I
think they, what I was talking to you about, they struck a balance. I think they took the sort of what I considered a little too serious, grounded 2014 one, the Gareth Edwards one. It's great, but I'm just saying, if you look at the entire
oeuvre, it is two ends of the spectrum. It's Godzilla to Kong Skull
Island. It's the darkest.
And it's somewhere in the middle.
Yes. And then they go Skull Island. They went a little too far with the sort of Toyota Kid action. I don't mind. I still liked it. It's a lot of fun. But I think they struck a perfect balance as far as the trailer.
In this movie, there's Godzilla, there's Mothra, there's Ghidra.
Yes. And then there's Rodan.
So there's the four of them.
Yeah. They may be going a little too far with all that. We'll see how it shakes out.
I just want to see them fight each other.
Yeah, I mean...
Although, it is like... I didn't realize how much bigger Ghidra is than Godzilla.
He's
like,
enormous.
There's that one where it's just like...
The one that's missing is Anguirus, who was like the first monster he fought. Second monster he ever fought was King Kong. And Anguirus and him actually end up becoming like friends throughout a lot of the series, and they like, team
up
a lot.
My dad loves Godzilla, and I don't think
Anguirus
is like
he's like a cross between a porcupine and an armadillo. So like he can burrow and he's on all fours and everything.
I wonder if there's going to be more. It seems like it may be from the trailer that it seems like there's going to be like in the first Godzilla movie
that was the shot from the
I saw that with like the what they call it
the Mutos, yeah,
where it just feels like cool. It's just sort of generic big monsters, like it feels like that they might be in this too, but I don't know.
So
is King Kong in this movie or no?
I don't know. I mean, they gotta allude to Skull Island at some way because that whole organization is in it.
Does he smell like a cactus?
Any peaches?
But
I also heard
a bite of something. I have cage eating.
Like Toho in Japan has decided, like, yeah, we're gonna follow suit with Marvel and we're gonna relaunch the entire line of monster movies and we're gonna do it like we did in the '60s and we're gonna have like.
Is that in line with single that? What's the Godzilla movie?
Oh, Shin Godzilla. No, they're like that's a one off for now.
Thank God.
I loved it. It's fantastic. But anyway,
what tastes like to you?
What Toho is doing is. You know, they're going to do, like, you know, a Godzilla movie, a Mothra movie, a Rodan movie, a Ghidra movie, and then they're all going to, like, cross over and co-mix and mingle, and they're really going to do, like, the whole Marvel MCU with their monsterverse and everything, so.
I want to just point out how overtly sexual what Meg Ryan is saying on screen
about her pear?
About how a pear tastes to her. It's just graphic.
It's perfect.
Because, I mean, this brings up something that I've thought about a lot where, like, we both agree that, like, the color of your wall is beige or tan,
mm-hmm.
but, like, what the color that you see it might be a completely different color than what I see.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know.
Okay.
Because we both agree that color is beige or tan.
Yes.
But it might what you see as beige or tan, I might think of as blue.
Yes.
And I think that's real weird.
Well, that's, like, people who are colorblind.
But I think beyond that, because, like, they know that they're seeing the world differently.
I hear
but, like,
you. Oh,
you
I
and
see
I are both
it.
Seeing
yeah.
the world correctly, but it might be a different version of correctness.
Ah, yeah, that's spooky.
Which is just like same thing. Like I know, like I don't know what a pear tastes like to you. Like we might have like we both might be able to describe a pear that it tastes the same way, but those words might mean different
things.
Yeah,
and we may both like
creepy, smelling
her
hair.
How a pear tastes, but it could taste totally different to the both of us.
That's, exactly. Yeah. Like what you think of as sweet might not be sweet.
Well, that's
or
funny.
Whatever.
I run into that with my nephew about sour things because at this stage in my life, like, I just, like, can't take, like, sour, you know, like,
oh, yeah,
Sour Patch Kids
is all
and
about,
like, all that.
The most sour. Like,
yeah.
Remember Warheads,
and,
like, the Atomic Warheads?
And he's like, try this one. I'm like, you're out of your mind, kiddo. It's like, if I had that.
Kiddo. There's something else I wanted to... Oh, so I have this other theory, and I think this is... I am... insane, but that, I'm thinking about this. That, you know, like, every time, like, you have, like, a near-death experience, like, what if, in your life, you always live until you die of old age or whatever? Like, I feel like, what if, like, when you have a near-death experience, like, the world sort of splits, and, like, in one reality,
mm-hmm.
you're gone, and the people around you sort of react to your loss. But in your reality, you just keep going.
Okay.
Like, I think that's, like, I haven't fully fleshed this idea.
I feel starting.
Like it's just, like, there's infinite, where, like, you're always the hero of your own story, right? And so, like, you keep going, and you always live to the end of your life.
That'd be nice.
But, like, you know, it's just this weird...
So, like, let's just say I got hit by a bus.
Yeah.
That bus actually missed me, exactly. And I get to keep walking.
But in my reality, you're gone.
I'm gone, yeah.
Or, like, in every reality but yours,
but that's
you're
like having your own personal matrix, right? Like, that's what your consciousness
is. Yeah, kind
of. Yeah. I mean, that's... Yeah, I mean, I'm, you know... But I also let's
think,
work on that.
I also I, think I, that I don't that's... Hate it. Yeah. I also think that's kind of... Because, like, nobody knows what happens when you... Like, nobody knows when you die what happens, right?
Right.
So, what if... Again, this is just weird. This is like this is like high thoughts without me actually being high.
Sober
like,
high thoughts.
What if in everyone's reality, whatever in everyone's consciousness, they just live forever?
Well, that's a beautiful thought. I would love that. I mean, I don't want to ever. I mean, yeah, let's just keep going. Maybe that's what consciousness
but also,
is.
But also, in a weird, depressing way, if you live forever, literally everyone around you dies.
But you might not be conscious of that necessarily, right? Like you're just living your conscious life. You don't necessarily know. If you're only on one path, how would you know when you branched, right? You would never have those conflicting thoughts or anything. So you're in the clear.
It's just weird. Because, like, there's so many things that we just don't know that, you know. I think it's whatever. This isn't me, like, trying to rationalize this for, like, peace of mind or anything. But I just think that it's interesting that, like, that could be what's right. I mean, like, maybe I cracked the code.
You know, maybe you're the,
like,
one guy on the good place.
The good place, like Doug Forsetti or whatever. Yeah. Where I'm old man Michael McKean, where I'm just, like, doing everything the right way, and then ultimately it doesn't matter because they have changed the rules because technology has muddied the waters.
By the way, if you're not following 41 Strange on Twitter, I retweeted one of their horrific clown
posts, I saw that.
And I just tagged the good place on it because it... I'm so glad they got back to those horrific clowns in the last season.
Oh, boy.
It's like, if you could have this any way you wanted to, why would you decide to put the creepy clowns back? Visible tattoo, but not cages.
You think that's a real tattoo or that is a character tattoo?
It looks real. I don't know. Well,
oh,
maybe
no,
not.
It's a character tattoo.
Heckle. He looks like the kind of guy who would have one of those old sort of timey sailor tats, though.
Oh, absolutely.
He looks like Mario. He should be Super
Mario.
Mario
Mario?
Yeah,
and
Mario Mario of the Mario Brothers.
Oh, boy.
They're doing a cartoon, and they're supposedly doing a Zelda Netflix series live action, which, you know what, just go online and watch people play Breath of the Wild. Like, that's basically like watching a movie. Or just buy Breath of the Wild and play it. Like, it's
beautiful.
They
just announced they're redoing some... I think Link's Awakening, maybe, for the
Switch? Oh, yeah, that actually looks kind of fun. I played that on Game Boy in high school.
Oh, he just tried to, I think, kill him, and then Franz basically said no. Like, I'm not ready yet.
Isn't it because he used to be an angel?
Oh.
Right? And he's like, I see you, buddy. Like, I know what you're trying to do. And that's where he incepts the idea into Cage's mind to wake up.
So this reminds me of a TV show that Kara and I, if we ever do TV Is Dead, which I would like to do, I just don't know if I physically have the time to do it. You know, I have the time to do it, but do I want to spend another 20 hours a month watching TV that I've already seen? That's neither here nor there. But there's a show called Dead Like Me.
As you said to Brian, it doesn't have to be a podcast. You can just rewatch it.
But Dead Like Me, which is a show that was on Showtime for 2 years, where they would go around, the Grim Reapers would sort of like pop your soul,
Randy
which
Patinkin,
where Soul Pop came from. And you would just be relieved of the burden.
Oh my God. That was a total, like... Port of Call New Orleans move where he was hiding behind the door.
Is this? This isn't Richard Jenkins, is it?
I have to get a better look at this guy. No. Oh my God, it's so close though.
But it looks like
it's
him,
like
right?
A cross between him and Tucci almost. Like, yeah.
Who is this guy? Is this his wife or her husband? Hello.
I don't know if it's a husband. I think they're dating, doctors dating. That's a cute dog though. Think that dog's still alive?
Is this Colm Feore?
It might be. If it is, I don't recognize
this guy, right?
him. Oh, looks like him. Yeah, he kind of looks like the new governor of New Jersey now. I've seen that guy in the news a lot lately. Just because it's like now that the governor isn't like hard to look at, I don't have to change the channel when he talks. And he doesn't speak like a moron either.
Colm Feore, City of Angels. Yes.
Is there something about her? Maybe does she's when she's not in her scrubs, is she in like proto angel outfit with
in
the
black? I don't know. Oh, this guy is in. He's been in 150 things, but he's in that new Netflix series, The Umbrella Academy.
Oh, I just saw the trailer while I was flipping through to Frasier.
Oh,
it looks interesting.
In Higher Power, which came out last year, which is like, you know that meme where it's like, this is your brain normal, this is your brain unlocked a little bit, like it's that, but like as a movie, it's. I watched like 10 minutes. It was terrible. he was in that Clive Owen.
Shoot 'em
up? Name? No, Clive Owen. I made a Seyfried movie, Anon. That was a Netflix movie last year.
Oh, he's down with the.
He was in 12 episodes of House of Cards. He's on Netflix a lot, I guess.
Oh, I kind of think I recognize him if he was in season 1 through 3, because those are the seasons I think I watched of House of Cards.
He was in 4 and 5.
Oh well.
He played King Lear. He was in The Amazing Spider-Man 2. He was in Jack Ryan's Shadow Recruit. 20 episodes of The Borgias. He was King Laufey, Laufey, in Thor.
Oh, King Laufey.
Thor.
But he was under a ton of blue makeup and a very dark screen. That part was very dark.
He was in a movie called Inconceivable that is not the Nicolas Cage Inconceivable, which means it's not good.
Unable to conceive. Hey, Jerry Lewis. Who will play Cage's dad in The Trust? Is this... Oh, were we watching another movie plays in this movie? That I think that was.
Yep. Go for it.
But more importantly, Jerry Lewis, pre-nection.
This guy was in Chicago. He's in The Sum of All Fears. He was in 2 Jack Ryan movies.
Oh, look at that.
Wonder if he plays the same character. I'll see.
That'd be cool. I know James Earl Jones, and he played the same character in 2. I know... But it was 2 different Jack Ryans. I think it was between Baldwin and Ford... But you
he was also in Face Off.
Had James Earl Jones, I think. I'm not sure. I watched all the Jack Ryan movies at one point last year, I think, and I was not that impressed. I think my favorite one was the Affleck one, to be quite honest with you.
This guy was also in Paycheck with Ben Affleck and Uma Thurman. This guy plays a doctor in Face Off as well.
Face Off. Wow. He's a doctor actor. Oh, is he one of the doctors that takes his face off?
Maybe. Oh, he wrote Inconceivable. All right, so let's see here. Does he play Olsen in Jack Ryan's Shadow Recruit, or does he play a different character? Let's see here. Rob Berenger. So he plays 2 different characters in the...
Cool.
Do all those movies take place in the same world or no? Because I know they're all different Jack Ryans. Jack's Ryan.
I mean, I know the novels are consistent, but the movies didn't feel... Because they feel like they're all over the place. The Harrison Ford ones seem to link up, but the rest of them are, like, all over.
So he was 2, but then everybody else was just 1?
Yeah. Baldwin...
So it's kind of the Batman syndrome.
Yeah, and then Affleck, and then Chris Pine, and now the new guy on...
John Krasinski,
now on Amazon.
Action star John Krasinski.
Yeah, really? How did that happen? But
oh, he's ripped, though.
I like writer-director Krasinski, but...
I mean, that's just a couple that I want to spend time with. I don't like The Office, but I enjoy him mostly, and I love Emily Blunt, so...
Yeah, I'd like to see them do more work together.
Nice little power couple.
I wanted to see, like...
Cage, eat. Cross off this...
Uh-oh. Waste of food on the floor.
You know, I feel like if you're a waiter in a diner... Oh, God, look at this bow tie.
Well, if you're that waiter.
And you see a guy walking in hospital scrubs, kind of, in...
Alone, too. You know, they
alone,
can't see Cage.
Talking to nobody, smoking a cigarette. What do you think is going on here? What does that say on the window?
I'm trying to... It's backwards, right?
O-D-L-E. It ends something in O-D-L-E.
U-D-L-E? Is he teaching Cage how to shake a hand? But, like, actually, if anyone's watching this, he's shaking the heir's hand.
This also reminds me of The Family Man, where he goes back and the daughter is teaching him how to be a dad.
Oh, yeah. He's sort of the blank slate Cage.
This is like proto-Family Man.
Well, that is like the other really romantic, like one of the other, well, Moonstruck is romantic, Zondali, depending on
so
who
they
you
just
ask.
Had, Brian had tickets on Valentine's Day. They had a feast, a Moonstruck feast at the Alamo Yonkers.
Oh.
But Brian showed up late, traffic, and couldn't get in.
Oh, no.
Valentine's Day ruined.
Oh, bummer.
But that would have been, that's a fun little romantic getaway if you both like Cher and Nicolas Cage and Moonstruck and Italians.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm sure it would have been a great dinner, too. Like pasta and bread, or whatever Cage is making in that basement. Pastries.
But I don't understand. How do they know if you're late?
I mean, the movie had started.
Yeah, But you can, like, leave the theater to go to the, like, not the theater, but
they just
can
don't
leave to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, I know, but...
And come back and stuff.
I think especially in a feast. I mean, the draft house also, like, once the movie starts, they don't let people in.
Okay.
That's their policy.
I guess I've just never been late to a movie there, but, you know, if I was in the bathroom and they shut the door on me, I'd be pissed.
Oh, no, I think you can leave, I think, but I think it's sort of, they see people come in and they, like, you know...
Oh, they won't rip your ticket. Yes. After the I hear you. Yeah, that makes more sense because you go to get your ticket at the box office or rip it, or but then you could get it at.
I think you could probably sneak in because if you have it on your phone, if you have a little thing or whatever, you could probably get in. But I feel like their whole thing is no disruption,
maybe
no
for
talking, no texting.
Maybe the thing for the feast is different too because they have to order everything and there's like a menu and it's all on the clock and.
I wonder if they got their money back because I mean those feast tickets are not cheap. They're like they're $50 or $60.
Yeah, I'm sure Brian got his money back.
I would hope so.
Sure, he tried.
He's got a wedding to pay for.
Really? And then, you know, everything after that.
Then just life.
Married life.
Here they are sitting on another thing.
Marriage. Oh, I think this was the shot that Marco was, like, talking about. He's like, yeah, they totally didn't need to do this on an actual up-high kind of thing. They could have just built this part of the set on the ground. Or they had built it on the ground.
Or just, like, built the thing and then green screened it.
I thought it was some shot. I don't know. But maybe this is a green screen shot.
It's cool camera work, though. However it is.
Oh, no. Cage wants to smoke. But it can't kill him.
He's joking about it. He knows. This guy gets it.
Because he was just like Cage once. Now, do you think Dennis Franz was, like, you know, more gaunt, skinny, and this is him, like, in when Bender turned into a human, and he just went full gluttony on the world and just decided to,
he became hedonism bot?
Yeah, just, like, you know, treat himself every day.
I don't know, maybe.
I feel like he wouldn't last. Like, how long would you last if you're like, all right, now I'm human. I'm just going to, like, eat all the shit I want and just fucking drink.
Oh, that actually reminds me also of Dead Like Me, where the Mandy Patinkin character, Rube, always orders these, like, ornate breakfasts. And he talked about it, you know, in an interview. They're like, oh, because once you're dead, like, you don't gain any weight. He's like, but me, the actor... I gain weight, so I need to be very careful about what I eat on screen.
That's like defending your life. When Albert Brooks dies and goes to, like, the purgatory place, like, you could eat all you want and not gain a pound. And it comes in, like, 2 seconds after you order it.
Man, that sounds great.
I made a joke about the diner one time. I don't know if I was with you or who I was with, but I was like, this... It got so fast at one point, like, we ordered food and it came out in, like, 5 minutes. I was like, this is like the movie Defending Your Life. I don't think it was you, because I ended up explaining that movie to the person I was with, so...
I don't think it was me either.
They hadn't seen it. Oh, back at the beach. This would look... I don't know. I feel like, even though it's made long ago, and the DVD's grainy as hell, a good cleanup on this would look nice.
Well, I mean, it's on Blu-ray. I have it on Blu-ray.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it's a well-shot movie. It's just a very oddly... not quite romantic movie. Or, like, questionably romantic movie.
So he can't feel yet, right? He can just sort of sense, like, he can understand that the sunrise is beautiful, but he can't feel the heat. Is that what's happening, or?
I don't remember. We haven't been paying attention enough to...
They're listening to the sunrise. That's what it is. They can hear... It's like a song.
Nudity.
That's right. Franz ass. And then, what was his character's name, like, Sipowitz or something? I feel like there was a big joke when I was in high school, like, he showed his ass on TV, and it was during, like, prime time or something like that. Like,
really?
Yeah, and everyone was like, oh, Franz butt.
All I remember is, and I don't know why this is burned into my brain, but on a very early episode of Family Guy, because I watched the first, like, handful of seasons... They make a cutaway joke to The Hitler Show, where he's interviewing Hollywood hunk Christian Slater. It's like, will you show us your butt? He's like, Hitler, I gotta. Like, that's the whole thing. Like, he's just, like, interviewing hunk Christian Slater. He just, like, asks, you know, Christian Slater to moon the crowd.
So
and Christian Slater says, yes, I'll do it.
Did it sound something like, why, sure thing, of course I will. I'm Christian Slater, not Jack Nicholson.
Let me see if I can find that on YouTube. Family Guy, Hitler. This is going to be a weird search. Family Guy.
That's going to really fuck with your algorithm there.
Hitler.
Your searches.
Christian
Sweet. Oh, there's some terrible CG. Look at that. That is like Woo. Copy and paste, please.
Oh, Norm MacDonald.
Family Guy looks like it takes place in the Critic universe. If you ever seen the Critic, the John Lovitz.
I know about it.
Oh, you'd love it because it's all about films and a film critic.
Yeah, but it's on my list, I think, somewhere.
It's drawn like almost the exact same way. They even did a Critic Simpsons crossover episode that was pretty terrific about a short film festival in Springfield.
So on this week's episode, I think, of The Simpsons, as we're recording, so tonight, you know, 2 weeks ago as you're listening to this, I think there's a whole episode where Mark Maron interviews Krusty.
Who?
Mark Maron? You know. The godfather of podcasting, although
I think
not quite.
I've heard of him through other podcasts, for sure. No, I know of Mark Maron. I actually had a friend who didn't really date, but like used to hang out with that crowd for a while. And, like, hung out with him a couple times.
Well, like, the L.A. comedian crew?
No, one, like, he was in New York.
Oh,
like,
so way
him
early,
and Voss
80s
and, like,
90s.
Those
okay.
guys and, like...
Back when he was fucked up.
Or, like, maybe right after.
Okay.
I don't know. She's kind of vague about it. I don't really bring it up because I'm not, like, entirely interested. But anyway.
Mm.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy. Like, between The Simpsons and the new Halloween movie and, like, podcasting is really, you know, mainstream, man. It's part of, you know, everyone knows what it means now.
But and do then, they?
Well, I think between Serial, that got a lot of, like, hype, you know, that whole NPR crowd and everything, right?
Like, so I think, like, in the fall sometime, I didn't see it, I just heard about it. SNL did a sketch about the podcast awards or whatever, the pod.
Oh, yeah, that sounds
and,
right, yeah.
And, the people I was listening to it, I think they were talking about I'm Never Not Funny, and they were talking about how it's big enough that people understand what it is. Like, they're like, oh, I know about this thing.
Yeah.
But they don't know, like, most of America doesn't know who Mark Maron is.
Okay, so, yeah. So, it's kind of like...
It's big enough, but not big enough.
Yeah, it's like the internet in 90s movies, where it's like, oh, like, computers can do so much stuff now. Like, we're aware of the internet, but we don't know what the internet, like, capabilities actually are. So,
right.
We're going to allow for, like, full motion video in a 1996... like, you know, romantic comedy or something.
Is this their first kiss?
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, the net and hackers and just like, we're going to see what the future's like. The information superhighway.
Yeah. Although I'm surprised there hasn't been a movie yet about just, you know, some guy podcasting while he drives cross country with his friend. Like, you know, why haven't we just shot
that? I feel like that is, in a way, although it's not that, but like the end of the tour, where it's the Jesse Eisenberg.
Okay, yeah, I haven't seen that yet.
The guy from Forgetting Sarah Marshall, the lead of that movie. He's in the Apatow universe.
Yeah, no, I know. I can picture
What's
him.
His name?
I'm trying to think of the author he plays, though. Infinite Jest. Yeah.
God, what's his name? He's also... He's slapping the bass.
That's right. And he's How I Met Your Mother.
Oh my God, what's his name?
And he's in the Muppets, the new Muppet movie.
Jason. Is it Jason?
Definitely Jason.
It's not Jason Sudeikis.
No, or Statham.
I could look it up. This is terrible for whoever's listening. If you're listening, email mailbag@cageclub.me, yell at us.
We can hear it. We can sense this ghost screaming at us. There's like a cage angel God. In the corner telling us. It's like Scrooged with Bill Murray.
He wrote the Muppet
movie.
The
S.S. Minnow.
Forgetting Sarah Marshall, Kristen Bell, Mila Kunis. Maybe it's not Jason.
I could have sworn it was.
Oh, God. He's also in Freaks and Geeks.
Mm-hmm.
Is he in Wet Hot?
Barbecue. Family.
This even looks like, you know, early
mm-hmm.
Fast and Furious or Too Fast, Too Furious. Shoot. I could just look it up. I don't want to look it up,
We've
though.
Been looking everything else up. I don't understand why this is, like, crossing a line. Look at that disgusting view of the power plant. Poor guy.
This actually looks like the scene in, I think it's in Bad Boys 2, where they have the pool.
Oh, yeah.
And they break the pool.
That's at the very end when they break the pool. That's
not the very end. That's in the middle, I think.
I thought that was at the very end.
No, because
when the pool finally breaks. It breaks twice, doesn't it?
It probably breaks
twice. It breaks twice.
He gets shot in the ass, and he's got like his little donut pillow.
Yes. And then he takes ecstasy and goes to the captain to us. That movie fucking rules.
I'm just excited that Vanessa Hudgens is going to be in the third one. She's posted some stuff on Instagram of her like working out, like at like Will Smith's gym.
Oh, cool! So she's going to be like action mode.
I can't.
So the girl can see him.
I think kids are just pure of heart. You know what I mean? Like they can always see them.
Or can everyone at the party see him?
Jason Segel.
Segel.
Doesn't feel right, but it's right.
Well, it's like the bird.
I looked it up.
It's okay.
But yeah, wait, why do we bring him up? Oh, end of the tour. Because like it feels like
podcast just, movie about just driving. Yeah.
He's, you know, Jesse Eisenberg is interviewing him and like sort of recording him, and he's just, they're just sort of ad-libbing
right?
in the car as they drive and go from place to place or whatever. And it is sort of the prototypical
podcast movie. Yeah. But they're not actually recording a podcast.
It's also like Due Date, right? Is that the Robert Downey Jr.?
Oh, I mean, it's like any. I mean, you know,
a road movie.
A good road. I just watched the one with that's on. The one with the new. Damn it! The Long Dumb Road, I think it's called.
Oh, with Mancini. Yeah, I haven't watched that yet.
I liked it a lot. Like I'm in the mood just for a road trip movie, but like, oh, I love these actors, and what do you know?
Cage not in the picture. He's like a vampire.
Mm. I was like, what do you know? There's like great chemistry, and I like the situations they get into. But yeah, so who knows? Maybe I'll just put it on the list of outlines.
That's a deep V for Cage with that chest hair popping out.
Mm-hmm. There's some Dos Equis behind him too, not Coronas, but you know, can't all be perfect.
Dos Equis in the Escape from Dannemora, or Escape at Dannemora, that miniseries on Showtime, which is great. Where Alabama Worley helps
the prison escape,
break out of prison. But she, you know, they promised DJ
from The Last Jedi?
Yes.
They
promised that they're going to bring her to Mexico with them, and so she orders
El Rey.
Dos Equis.
Ah.
You know what I love about Alita? This is, talking about El Rey.
Don't spoil.
Just cut off his thumb.
Oh my gosh, that was an amazing effect! That was beautiful.
No, what I love about Alita is that a lot of the characters are just Hispanic because
it's Robert Rodriguez. Yeah.
But like, you know, Rosa Salazar plays Alita, which is she's great. Isaac Gonzalez plays a bad guy. She's great.
Isn't Jackie Earle Haley one of the cyborgs, I heard? I don't know if it's true or not, but it just made me laugh because we just saw him in Losing It.
Did you listen to that episode? Do you listen to the episodes?
I've been listening to more and more. I mean, the last couple months have been hard to...
Because I put, like, every time we said the title Losing It, I dropped in a little audio of the song. He is in Alita Battle Angel.
Okay. I think he plays one of the Robo Men.
But every time, like, somebody shows up, I was like, Mahershala Ali, he's in this movie?
Except Christoph Waltz. But he is... German, if I'm not mistaken, right? He's German?
He's very mildly...
In the movie?
No. He's in the movie a lot. His accent is sort of mild.
So I have... I think I put it back in my closet. But I have what I think is based... Is the animation... Like the short series of animes that the movie's based on.
Huh.
You want to... Here, give me a sec. It's your solo cast
again. Here we go. It's me. It's always been me.
I put up
the Banks postcard, too. Oh, look at that. I thought it was cool.
Yeah, me too. So check this out
real quick. All right, let's see here. I mean, Battle Angel, Hunter Warrior. Oh, it's definitely the same thing. I muted your microphone so you come back up. So yeah, from the acclaimed series by Yukito Kishiro.
Okay.
This is so in the world, the Hunter Warrior. So like it's the movie takes place 300 years after the Fall, which is this great grand war.
Right.
The movie takes place in the 2500s or something. And hunter warriors are basically bounty hunters.
Oh, okay.
That there are these like machines that kind of replace cops. They're called centurions. They're these big machines that like patrol the streets and like sort of enforce the law. But if you want to earn income, you sign up to be a hunter warrior.
Oh, okay.
And they hunt. You know, there's like a you go look on the computer and see who's got a bounty on them. And you, like
oh,
if
cool.
you kill them, you can redeem their head for a bounty. So definitely, it's hunter warrior, battle angel.
Yeah, so I don't know if that's per se about, like, I don't know how much they changed. I haven't watched that in several years, but I found it, I dug it out because I wanted to check it out maybe tonight before I go see the movie.
She is the battle angel. Her name is Gally. No, I think it's...
But I don't know how much of that has changed from translation. You know, if I watch it with subtitles, if it's a different name or... It's just inspired by it.
It feels like it's maybe another story that takes place in the same world, you know
what
I
mean? Oh, there you go, there you go.
Because it's the same, it's Scrap Iron City, it's
yeah, it looks
Sky
like
City
the
of Salem.
Right. It looks like the trailer, so it could just be sort of a, they reimagined it.
So the only real problem with Alita Battle Angel is that it's 100% set up to be the start of a franchise, and I don't think it's doing well enough to get a second movie.
Oh, that's a bummer. That's a bummer. I wonder how much it costs, because Rodriguez is really good at cutting corners and cost and filming stuff on the cheap and making it look a lot more expensive than it costs. Like, that's always, to me, been his flair, was to be down and dirty, quick, fast, and loose.
$170 million.
Never mind. But he, you know what, though? If I'm also not mistaken, is it Troublemaker Studio? Like, he must have self-financed. Or James Cameron helped with this
James
one.
James Cameron.
That's right. But he's got his own facilities.
What was James Cameron bitching about? Oh, Aquaman.
Oh, that was hilarious. Yeah.
I prefer my underwater scenes to be realistic.
That's just not the way things move underwater. It's like, James Cameron, go F yourself sometimes, you know? Because he was going to, a long time ago, he was going to direct, I remember a movie just called Battle Angel, so this must be... Oh, this song, Joey. The McLaughlin song.
Oh, boy.
And there's a dog. Oh, no.
So
thankfully,
this is
that commercial hasn't been
James
on
James Cameron and John Landau.
Okay. So it's not a. It's not entirely just like a Rodriguez production like his other films.
So
and stuff.
It is. So estimates right now, they're going to make $36 million domestic, another $35 million foreign, so $72 million worldwide. But like,
I think foreign's going to pop higher. I think it's going to be big.
It
like
looks,
China.
It looks so fucking cool. Like, it looks... it's basically...
I've seen the trailer. Like, it does look awesome.
It's the story of the Matrix, kind of. Like, she's the chosen one, in a sense, where she's a figure
well,
of who
it's
she
just
is.
The hero's journey,
yep.
Right?
But she like she has, like, multiple moments where, like, oh, that's a Neo moment. Like, and, like, it would bother me if I didn't like the movie. I was like, oh, fucking cool. and it's sort of speed racery when they play Motorball.
Right.
It's sort of
a little Elysium, right?
There's Elysium.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure will be in the second and third movies or whatever. It's sort of set in kind of Valerian-ish world.
Mm-hmm.
It's just
like all kinds of crazy creatures and cultures and everything mashed up.
I would love to, because I think this movie could make...
here it comes, awkward sex scene.
Maybe close to 100 domestic, and if it makes another 300 or 400 worldwide.
Well, you know what's really helping it is that I can only find it playing around here in 3D because, like, there's very limited 2D screening around my neighborhood. Like at the mall, I think there's maybe 4 out of like 12 showings are in 2D.
Yeah, I saw it in Dolby, which is great. I kind of want to see it again. I also wonder, like, with AMC A-List, if I buy a ticket and I don't go. Does AMC kick the
Do they know you don't go, though?
No, I don't think so. But, like, do they kick the studio a couple bucks?
Oh, I think everything just keeps going along. Even if you don't show up, it's all just the same.
So I should just buy tickets to movies that I like that I, you know, why not? If I'm not going to see movies in a week, because I can see 3 for free, quote-unquote.
But I would love to... Just to help boost ticket sales for other films.
Slowly but surely.
Well, like, yeah, like, if... I don't know, like, I haven't done this since I was, like, a little kid, but, like, you know, sometimes we would buy tickets for one movie and go see another movie, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's like, oh, like, we saw that already, but we want, whatever, like, we wanted to get the popularity and stuff, but...
So right now, Alita Battle Angel is my second favorite movie of the year, behind a movie that I know you saw that I liked more than you.
Replicas!
No.
Just kidding.
Braid.
Oh, yeah, I really did like Braid. I wasn't sure about the 3.5 and the 4. I almost gave it 4 because it's really... I might even kick it up because
Man,
of its ambition.
It's crazy to look at.
Here's the thing. Like, I just wasn't prepared for it to go... I'm glad it did, but I wasn't prepared for it to go that far off the rails. And I wasn't sure if it...
I don't understand the ending.
If it worked. And I think that's why I'm still like... I don't care if it worked or not because it felt right and like it was really crazy that movie.
So what I love is that the reason I heard about it was because the main girl the mother.
Okay. Yeah, I've seen her.
Plays, she's the lead in Cam, which came out last year on Netflix, which is great.
Ah, yeah.
The redhead girl.
Yes.
The girl who, not doctor.
No,
the other one,
daughter.
The daughter. This sounds like we're being vague. Like, these are
but
like
these are their names. There's daughter, doctor, and mother.
Daughter plays, she was in that Stars series, which I never saw, Rust and Bone, which is about the ballet dancers.
Okay.
But she was in an episode of Room 104, which is that Duplass series on HBO. And she's like, I think, like this professionally trained ballet dancer. And she's like incredible.
Okay.
And she's also beautiful.
Yes.
And so I was
everyone in the movie is beautiful and very good.
I was waiting for her to like
pirouette
dance
or something,
and she doesn't.
Do pull off.
And then the third girl I didn't know, but I was like, because it's basically just the three of them.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, I like these two from other things. Let me watch this movie. And I was like, oh, this is way weirder than I thought it was going to be. And like, just like, they basically enter like, you know, Alice in Wonderland at times, where just like the
kinda
colors are just like all like purple grass and everything's inverted. And
yeah.
Just, like, I don't know what's going on.
Well, they're playing like that crazy game of house, and they seem to all be dosed with psychedelics, like knowingly or not, but like they're on crazy amount of drugs and they're just playing through the scenario.
But then as the movie goes on, it's like who knows what?
Yeah, you like, really lose the sense of time and right.
Are they all in on it? Is one of them not in, like
I felt stoned after watching it. Like it is a trip. It is a trippy ass movie for sure.
And I love that it was written and directed by a woman starring pretty much all women. Like
you know what, yeah, that was great. I really felt that and I would appreciate that energy came through thankfully very well. You know what, kind of in the vein, I would say, not that it's similar movie, but it's sort of like a Mandy in the sense that it's like an acid horror trip kind of movie kind of thing. Like it's not as in slow and intense as Mandy, but it definitely flies off the rails in like similar ways, I think.
You know what I was thinking? It's kind of wait a minute, I want to make sure I get the right movie. Hang on. Because I don't know if it's actually the movie.
Ooh,
I'm thinking
proposal
of. I think it is, though. Hold on.
And then that Gaspar Noé movie is out, right?
Climax.
Got to see that still. And then the new Lars von Trier, I hear, is insane.
What one's that?
It's got... Isn't that the one with Riley Keough? Or did that come out?
Oh, The House of Jack Built.
Yeah.
So that... I don't know what the status of that is. That was a festival movie that I think might be floating around the dark web. You know what this reminded me of? I think it is that. It kind of reminded me of The Neon Demon. Where they're like they're in this ornate house. There's just like three women who are like not being kind to one another.
No, and lots of crazy color and that's not a bad color.
But I looked up Jenna Malone because I was like, I know she's in it, and she's going to be in all 10 episodes of which I cannot fucking wait for.
Oh, the new
Nicholas Winding Refn's Too Old to Die Young.
That's so
John
cool.
Hawkes is going to be in it. Callie Hernandez, who is one of the dress girls in La La Land.
Oh, so is Happy Death Day.
Yeah. But Callie Hernandez is also the female lead in The Endless.
Oh, okay. I really like that movie. Yeah.
Jenna Malone's in all 10 episodes.
Oh, okay.
Miles Teller's in all 10 episodes.
And she got in something else, too, I think.
All,
I remember looking her up.
Oh, of...
She's in Alien Covenant.
Yes.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
All of the dress girls are in things.
Are
Tree
hits now.
Is Tree.
Mm-hmm.
There's Callie Hernandez who's in all those things. And the third girl is the robot in Ex Machina.
No, really? That was her?
Not Lisa Bacano, the Asian one.
Oh, right, right. The other, I forget there's several androids in them.
Yes.
Yeah. I keep forgetting. No, right.
Sonoya Mizuno was in Crazy Rich Asians. She was in Annihilation. I don't think she was a big role in Annihilation. She was in La La Land, obviously, which is where we talk about Ex Machina. And she's also in all 10 episodes of Maniac, which I've not seen yet.
Ah, cool. Speaking of Ex Machina, I had Tomb Raider on in the background while I was editing the other day, just because I really
like it. It's always on TV now.
And it looks cool as hell, and she's great in it, and I don't know, you know. I always love when Walter Goggins shows up in something, and it's just like, kind of, you're in this now? Okay.
That's also why I like Live Free or Die Hard, because Timothy Oliphant is so goddamn cool and justified. And he's also one of my favorite characters. Like, I think he's the only man... He's the only man at Deadwood that I like.
Because he's the only... Here's the deal with him. He's the only one that's, like
relatively noble?
Yeah. Like, he's the only one with any sense of like, right or wrong, basically.
Well, I like John Hawks, too. Like, I like their shop.
Yeah. But even John Hawks' character, you know, him and Trixie on the side, like, he does stuff that the Marshal does not approve, and I don't know.
Well, Timothy Oliphant also cheats on Anna Gunn, doesn't he?
Oh, that's right. I forgot. Oh man, I gotta go back. Gotta go back before the movie.
You don't have to. It's not a good show.
I love that show.
But I think I'm the only person who like doesn't like. I should like that show.
No,
but,
you know, I know other people that don't love it.
So sad.
But like, I'm just surprised how much I do love that show. Is the thing. Like that show got me into liking Western movies.
Well, like that's the show that like
history.
You love. Tobin loves like Matt Gourley, who I obviously you know adore. Podcaster. It's his favorite show of all time. Jimmy Pardo, it's like one of his two or three favorite shows of all time. It's not his favorite show of all time. But these people whose like tastes I mostly respect, or you know, like to like they we like the same things, and I'm just like I can't. It's just so. And I understand that's the point, but it's just so vile.
Yeah, yeah. That's
and I just
you know
don't dig it.
I hear you there, but like it's just a reflection of you know
like
how
what's her face?
Not just how things are, Calamity Jane. Ugh. Not just how things were, but how things are. You know, I mean, the world in America is pretty vile. You know,
like I like what's his face in American Gods,
the Swearinger.
Yeah,
he's great in everything though. Like he's just an amazing actor. Like
what's his name?
Oh, son of a bitch! It's that time of day. I need my meds. My pills. My memory pills.
Ian McShane.
Yeah. He's in some good movies when he was younger, too. Oh, here's that shot again.
Creepy.
Don't they have air traffic control rooms to be in?
Don't they have, like, literal... I guess there's the idea that, like, there are just so many angels that they're everywhere.
I guess. But also, there seems to be something fixating with Cage, like, they can sense that he's going to go rogue or...
Well, if you think about, like, if you're an angel and you live in heaven for eternity and you're able to go to Earth, like, at some point you're going to be kind of bored, I think. Maybe. Maybe.
Here he goes.
And so, if you get wind that one of your angels is, like, maybe on the verge of becoming human, that seems like must-watch TV.
You're right. You're right. You're like, this hasn't happened since Dennis Franz jumped.
Decades ago.
Yeah.
Which is a blink in time for us, but still...
Do you think Dennis Franz got a guardian angel after he became human? And will Cage, and does Cage's friend become his guardian angel? Is that how it is? Are they, like, paired up in case one of them dies and becomes human?
You mean, like, will Andre Brower watch after him?
Yeah.
Maybe.
I like that thought. You think you have to jump that high, though? I guess you want to be sure. I'm surprised he didn't just go buy a gun or something. That would have been a funny scene.
There's still 35 or 40 minutes left in this movie.
I guess you got to find a freeway to die.
So, live freeway or die hard?
I'm still sitting here.
You think that was Marco with him like the back because he can't see
probably.
Cage? Probably, right?
I'm still struggling here in the back of my mind trying to figure out how they're going to incorporate the number 3 into the next Happy Death Day sequel.
Happy D3F Day?
Like, part of my mind is always, like, sort of thinking about that today. Because it also, like, how, you know,
like
the number was worked into, like, the Fast and Furious titles and stuff. Like, I've been thinking about that, too. Like, how can that keep going?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
This is very Matrix-y. Like, the falling with a black trench coat thing with the Neo music kind of going.
Well, I don't know if you saw, but they announced officially, they shifted the date a little bit, but Furious, or whatever it's going to be called, 9, is Memorial Day next year. May 22, 2020. So,
right.
2 years
in
a row in a Fast and Furious movie.
That's right. We get one this. Maybe
that's
what they're doing.
The female reboot will be, or the female version will be 2021.
There you go. And then Hobbs
and
Shaw 2
in 2022, and then
Fast
10 seatbelts.
Fast 10-year seatbelts
in 2023. And then maybe we'll all be hashtag blessed by the Han Giselle spinoff.
Oh,
that we all,
come on, we all know that
we all
needs
deserve.
Like, and that can still happen so easily. Like. They would totally do it.
I mean, it's just a matter of whether Gal Gadot has time and wants to do it. Like, I feel like all the other pieces are there, in theory. Because
yeah.
I feel like, what's Sun Kang doing?
I don't know. What is Sun Kang? Why isn't he Bond?
Bond, Han...
Han Bond. Bond. That was a great call on your episode.
Bond 2D2. That was on your episode.
Oh, that was on my episode. I must admit, I'm getting them all a little confused.
I listened to that one this morning.
It's like a big 1-2-3 punch. Here comes Nick Offerman, if I'm not mistaken.
He's bloody. He's never been so happy to see blood.
Oh, pain. I can feel pain. So he feels the pain of falling off a building and has no broken bones.
Just like Dinosaur Jr., he feels the pain of everyone.
But that's what I mean. Like, maybe if he just drowned himself, he wouldn't have, like, bloody broken bones and...
It does sort of feel weird, because it just feels like he has selective cuts on him, and that he's not actually injured. He's just cosmetically injured?
Mm-hmm. Cosmically injured.
Ooh, here we go.
Here he is. Nice. That's him with no mustache. Okay. He's got the overalls next to this guy. That's a
in the middle, yeah, grinning.
Oh my god, is it red?
And he's skinny here too.
If you ever see Nick Offerman in person, just walk up to him and ask, is it red?
You're like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Just like if you ever see Hanks in person, you must walk up and ask the great Pardew to bless you.
Sonny.
No, you get... You gotta call him Pardew.
Pardew the holy man.
Oh, blessed ninth level holy man Pardew.
What I was thinking about the Tom Club, which we have not really talked about in this episode.
Wait, look at this. That's amazing.
I love it.
That's total, like, face
that's
off.
That's dance. I'm a cross off dancing.
Yeah, that's dancing. I mean, that even reminds me a little, like, this feels like the end of Wild at Heart, almost before and kind of after he runs into that little gang that beats him up.
Oh, I turned on the TV the other day, and Wild at Heart was just on at the end, where he was, like, getting the shit kicked out of him by those guys.
Yeah.
And then he goes, Lula! And then he finds her, because this was after. Mm. Or maybe I saw, I don't remember, because I was on the call while it was happening, but, like, he gives his kid the teddy bear or whatever, and then she's like, I can't do this. She drives away. He walks away, gets the shit kicked out of him, and then Laura Palmer comes,
right,
wakes him up.
The witch.
He says, Lula, and then goes, and he just sings to her over the credits, and I'm just like, oh, God, it's so perfect. But, yeah, that's, I mean, the end of Wild at Heart is just all of Wild at Heart. Although they just announced, I'm sure you saw the... Blue Velvet coming to Criterion.
Oh, I can't wait. I almost bought the Blu-ray that had like 45 minutes of extra footage. This is like 50-something minutes of extra footage, and it's all official.
What I want, though, is Inland Empire on Criterion, because it's only on DVD. It's not on Blu-ray.
Not only is it only on DVD, but I have a Region 2 DVD of it from like Australia, because the American version is like hundreds of dollars.
Is it really?
Because it's out of print.
I have that, and I also have that.
It's really expensive.
The lime green box set, which is also hundreds and hundreds of dollars.
Yeah, that's out of print too. It makes me like, it's funny because I was talking to Brian about my Godzilla collection, and like so much of it's out of print that like several of those movies are like hundreds of dollars for some reason on Amazon.
Well, I think it's I told you that like years ago, like 7 years ago, I think I even might have talked about this on a previous Revisited. I bought the Lone Wolf and Cub.
Yeah.
For $12, and then I sold it. Open, like I never watched it, but I opened it because I opened things back then, and I sold it open, so used, for $160. And then they put out, which I have not bought yet, but they have the entire series on Criterion.
Yeah,
list price $100. So like when it's on sale, it's $50. You
yeah,
know what I mean,
like I have all the like episodes, but they're all like the older. It's not Criterion
right now. All I own is just Shogun Assassin, which is just I guess the remix of the first two or whatever. So
yeah, it's like first two seasons or something.
But yeah, man, like, I really want... So what do we have? We have on Lynch on Criterion. There's Mulholland Drive, which I own.
Yeah, I got
that. There's going to be Blue Velvet. There's the cool Shout Factory.
Eraserhead.
Oh, Eraserhead.
I don't have that Criterion because I already...
I
don't think I do. Yeah, I have the Wild at Heart Shout.
So what's coming out? So Oscilloscope, which I think... Was that... MCA's?
Adam Yao? I thought so, yeah. I think he started that.
Because the awesome I shot that was
mm-hmm.
Oscilloscope. I think that was his.
And there's a couple other movies on that.
There's a bunch. Like, there's a handful that I really like, but what's coming out in March sometime is Columbus, that Koganada movie.
Oh, yeah, I really like
that. And so I tweeted at them because there's like the standard case and there's also the limited edition digipack. I'm like, it's the same price. I'm like, what's the difference? They didn't tweet back to me yet. Let me see here. David Lynch. Eraserhead? I have Eraserhead on Criterion.
We got punched in the face by a gang. This is very Wild at Heart. I got that on DVD a while back. It's a really good one, though, so like I was like, I could save the money on the... I'm trying not to double up anymore. Like, with 4K, I'm trying to buy movies I never owned.
Well, because that's the other thing. Like, on a TV this size, even on a TV my size,
yeah,
going from Blu-ray to 4K... It's not super noticeable.
Yeah, I notice. I actually think it looks... I think the 4K upgrades the Blu-rays really well, to be honest with you. I kind of do notice the difference. I don't know. But I understand what you're saying. Like, it would show more on a much bigger TV. But I'll tell you what, when I put a DVD into the 4K player, like, it kind of looks like shit.
Well, so that's the whole thing. So, like, going from... So, like, if you're over... Like, now all TVs you buy are 4K, essentially, mm-hmm. right? Like, you have to sort of...
Oh, another dog.
Try to find a 2K, yeah. 1080p. Yeah. But you really don't need 4K unless you're, like, over 65. Because, like, the pixels don't get, like, blown out until you're there. And then, like, for 8K, unless you're over, like, 85,
oh, yeah. Well,
you don't really need that.
Yeah.
But, like, but in three or four years, 8K is just going to be out. And, like, you know, it's going to be sort of where 4K is a year ago, where it's, like, it's expensive, but it's not ridiculous.
Got it.
And then, you know, in 6 years, maybe, like, you're going to be able to go buy, like, in theory, possibly, I don't know. It all depends. But you could buy, like, a $300 8K TV just because, like, that's what it is.
Where it is, yeah.
But the problem with this is that, you know, Netflix and Hulu and Amazon all stream in 4K. 4K discs are great.
Mm-hmm.
But cable companies do not have the physical bandwidth to deliver 4K content.
Right, correct.
So you either buy the outdated medium of physical media, which nobody except for, you know, like us do, mm-hmm. right? Or... you pay Netflix and stuff, which is great, but other than that, like the infrastructure
not
is not
yet.
There.
Yeah, yeah. No, I agree. I think that's why I held off for so long, to be quite honest. And like, I still held off longer, but I needed a new DVD player, and it was Christmas, so there you go. So I watch all my DVDs in the actual PlayStation 4 now at the moment, and they look fine.
But, like, the PS4 Pro is not crazy expensive. The Xbox One S is cheap. The Xbox One X is a little bit more expensive, but they all have the 4K player in them. You know, it's not prohibitively expensive to play 4K anymore.
Oh, man, it looks crap.
But that's the thing. He loves it, though, right?
I know, yeah. He's living. He needs a nurse, too. He needs a doctor.
You know, should I cross off... it would be metaphorical.
Cage in jail?
He was in a prison of his own making.
I don't know. You've already got bingo. But Cage is on screen with an animal. Several dogs in this movie.
Mm-hmm. Oh, singing, I'm going to cross off because he was singing and dancing when he walked down the street.
I don't know if I'm going to... I mean, he's not going to Nolens, so I'm not getting that. Not going to Vegas. You mentioned Reno. Twin Peaks connection? We've been talking about a lot of David Lynch, but
not
we're
Twin
watching
Peaks,
this.
Weirdly, specifically.
Cage will freak out at the end here.
This now reminds me of Leaving Las Vegas, where she's Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
He's...
Oh,
you know,
so weird. Leaving Las Vegas came up on the, I don't know if it'll be out by now, but the March episode of Third Time's a Charm is Leprechaun 3.
It comes out next week.
Okay, and, you know, let's just say that there's a couple in there that, you know, rivals Cage and Shoe. That's all I'll say. I'll have to listen to find out what we're talking about.
Is that you and Dan?
Yeah, there are some star-crossed lovers in Las Vegas going on in that movie.
This episode comes out February 28th, so as you're listening to this, 3 days from now, on this Sunday, catch out Third Time's a Charm, Leprechaun 3. Is that in the hood?
No, Hood was 5 and
what's,
6.
What's in space?
4.
So I've only seen 4.
We go down the line, we talk about the whole franchise.
Is there a subtitle for 3 or is it just called Leprechaun 3?
It's just called Leprechaun 3. I'm surprised it's not called Leprechaun 3 Vegas or something. Vegas,
was it called Leprechaun 2?
Yeah, just
Leprechaun,
Leprechaun 2,
Leprechaun 3, Leprechaun in space.
Leprechaun 4, Leprechaun in space. Leprechaun...
Are they all Warwick Davis?
Well, so he did 6 of them. He did up until... he went back to the hood for the second time.
Okay.
And then they did Leprechaun Origins with a pro wrestler called Hornswoggle. Don't know. It was a very bad one. The Leprechaun creature is barely in it. Dan makes a good point on the episode of saying it feels like they took another script and retrofitted it for Leprechaun so they didn't lose the rights. And then
compromise.
I watched the new one, Leprechaun Returns, which is a direct sequel to Leprechaun 1. It's a new actor, but it's the same character, and it's actually quite good. It was very fun. Yep.
Touching knees, erotic knees, Charlize Theron knees.
And so this is crazy. It was blowing my mind because so it's the 8th Leprechaun movie in the series, but it's a direct sequel to the first Leprechaun film.
Yeah.
So technically they could make Leprechaun Returns again, and it would be another part three. So it's got a weird, cool anthology thing
going
on.
Well, aren't they? So there was obviously Terminator 3 Rise of the Machines, but aren't they making a new Terminator movie that's a direct sequel to 2?
Yep. So there's a new Terminator 3. And then also, if they make Back to the Hood again, it would be the third time Leprechaun goes to the Hood. So there could be three...
It's become a Leprechaun podcast already.
Lep for life. This is very awkward.
Look at it. Steamy fire. Mm-hmm. Again, sort of Wild at Hardy.
Oh, this could be the first time he ever... You know...
Is he losing his virginity? No.
Yeah, well, yes. Yeah. Losing his religion.
Losing it.
That's right. He's losing it. Oh, my God. This is insane. Look at her. She's taking it.
And neither of them are really moving much. They're just... She's just sort of, like, sitting on him.
Yeah. I don't even think... Is she sitting on him? Yeah. I thought she was just sort of cradling it in her hand.
This is more tender than the Zondali Love Me, can I tell you that much?
Oh, yes. Zondali, Cage had no idea what he was... What was Cage doing?
Again, he has no idea what he's doing here, though.
I know, but he has a better idea of what not to do here. He thought he knew what he was doing in Zondali.
We were made to fit together.
That's
going to be the quote for the episode.
That's kind of...
Where's your... Can I have a pen that you had before?
That's kind of psycho-y.
Oof. We were made...
Lake Tahoe? Oh, that's a nice shot.
The movie's filled with nice shots. It's
no,
just,
I know.
You know.
Just calling them out.
Yeah, no. I'm not correcting you. I'm just sort of emphasizing what you're saying.
Yeah. No, I know. It's kind of funny. It keeps the cuts.
This also reminds me a little bit of Next. You know, by that, like, the... Where it's him and Jessica Biel and that, like, cabin.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if it's by a lake, but it feels...
No, wait, wasn't
they... Well, they go down to the lake in between the mountain where she's, like, teaching Native Americans how to ride horses or whatever.
Wasn't that the Grand Canyon?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Where it's, you know...
No, but you're right. Showers in Getaways and...
And she and Jessica Biel showers in Next, and she comes out in the towel, and he's just like, ooh. And she's very open. Does he can drink it? Please don't drink it. Okay.
Question now. If you fell in love with someone, okay?
Is he going to spray this in his mouth?
And they...
Oh! That's like the reverse Banaka from The Trust. Remember where he, like...
I think we just saw Nude Cage, too, in the shower. We just missed him for a second. If the person you love showed up one day and was like, hey, I'm real now, but, like, I don't know anything. Like, I'm a blank slate. Would you have sort of, like, a little remorse, be like, I don't know if this is exactly what I bargained for? Like, if you were put into the Meg Ryan...
So you're
she
saying,
loves it. She
so you're
wants
saying
it. But
if you're, like, Letty and you have amnesia and you can't tell someone that they love you.
It's a little different because Letty didn't know you to begin, right? Like, she doesn't have any memory of that love. So, I'm just saying, if you were Meg Ryan in this situation, okay, and your angel showed up and was like, I'm real now, would you be like, it was cool when you were an angel and we had our thing going, like, now that you're real, would you be down with it like she is, or would you sort of, I think I'd be a little like, ooh, I didn't ask you to become real for me.
That's like an SNL sketch.
I guess it is. I don't know. I'm just trying to, like, you know, kill time, I guess, but, like.
Another convenience store. Oh, this isn't really a convenience store.
Oh, this is the inconvenience store, right? Because this is when she bites it.
Oh, boy.
So, Cage is going to freak out. I'm just going to cross that off. It's not going to help me win anyway.
So here, you know, oh, she's now feeling the sun. She's hearing the sun, whatever she's doing.
Oh, she's hearing it.
Again, this is sort of reminding me of the bike. We were talking about it before of Tomb Raider. But, like, the coolest part of Tomb Raider is the bike race. Like, the bike stuff.
I don't know. I like the island stuff. I think that stuff's really cool. I like when she... falls, like, she has to climb up the plane, and she falls doing the...
All the trailer stuff.
No, I mean, there's a lot of stuff I liked about that. I liked the actual idea about the curse being a virus. Like, I thought that was interesting. That was a cool twist and kind of thing. You know, the only thing I guess I could have used with that was, spoilers, her finding her dad on the island. Like, that was a little like, oh, we're going to go there? Okay. I guess if we have to go there, they did it okay.
Who plays her dad?
Yeah, McManus from The Wire.
Oh, Jimmy McNulty, yeah.
McNulty. Yo, McNulty. McManus, McNulty.
Yeah, what's his name? The British guy? Dominic West.
Dominic West, yes. He's in a lot of stuff. That guy...
Sir Richard Croft.
Here he goes. Oh. He's feeling it.
We're like, you know, like one frame below, we could see some crack, Some butt crack. Cage crack.
Cage crack.
This also reminds me of the beginning of The Family Man where he's shirtless.
Yes.
This is...
A sister-brother film to that, I guess.
He's in really good shape there. I mean, this is after, you know, three movies in a row of the action trilogy, so like...
But you see how I feel like he's cooling down during this as far as, like, an actor and everything and just his whole pace. It's like, I just did some really intense... And then you know what he does next? Fucking Snake Eyes. Where he just ramps it back up again to 11 right at the start of that movie. Are we on the air?
Oh, boy. He does, like, a really good job of, like, looking sleepy. Like, out of it, but also, like, intensely present.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, he does a good sort of naive kind of thing, right? Where he's just like this, waiting to be served, or I'm waiting to be taught.
So I don't want to blame the victim here, but, like,
she's
not wearing a helmet.
Yep.
She's acting insane on this bike.
Yep. She could have probably stopped in time, too. Look, she's plenty of time, I feel. You could...
Oh! Log truck from next.
Oh. Nice. But also, it's not like it hit her head on.
The candlers went out. Oh, no, she could definitely skid under it.
She crashed into it. Like, you could jump or stop a bike in time not to crash into that.
She could Tokyo Drift under it.
She could have Tokyo Drifted.
Although this is also like the beginning of Fast and Furious 4, the oil tanker truck is like bounding down, and then Dom has to sort of Tokyo Drift under it.
It's exactly like that. Dude, imagine if they did a bike chase in the new Fast and Furious movie.
Bicycles?
Yeah, like bicycle chase. Like if it started with that, and it turns out it was like someone's kid. What if it was Dom's son? If they aged him up like 10 years and then maybe we'll have to wait
Brian?
Three or four. Brian's kid.
Well, no, I mean, Brian is the baby.
Oh, Brian as a kid.
No.
Baby
Dom's
Brian.
Son is named Brian.
Or maybe it's, a flashback of young Dom being chased on his bike as a kid, him and Letty getting chased, and we see like the young crew.
So I had a dream last night that I was like, oh shit, I just unlocked the key to the Tokyo Drift.
Uh-oh.
I think it's just too much Tokyo Drift in my brain, but, like, I had this idea that, like, somehow we never put the two together. There was time travel, and that both, like, I don't remember because I was, like, one of those where I woke up and I was like, I don't remember the bits, but it was something along the lines of, like, Han and Dom were the same person at different points in time.
Oh, so, and, like, spoiler, but, like, Lego Movie 2 action?
Yeah.
Where it's like, it's his future self come back to teach him, like,
teach him about Chris Pratt history as an actor, I guess, like...
But I hear ya. No, I like that.
I was like, oh my god, like, that makes... In my dream, I was like, oh, everything makes sense now.
Well, it's better than the theory I cut out of my episode because, I don't know, time, maybe? But the idea that Sean and Han are the same person... And that it was just sort of a figment. It was his Tyler Durden situation there, but it just does not work in the long run.
You know, I think after Brian releases it, after both of the first two episodes are over 2 hours, I don't think you need to cut anything out. Because we only recorded for like an hour 15 for yours. Like, you don't need to cut anything out for time.
Well, I didn't know your guys were both going to be like twice as long as my episode. I would have like stretched and read more of the book.
Our intro segment, like our actual episode was probably about the same, like a little bit longer than yours, but not crazy longer. We just had
a lot of mail.
We had the 40
stuff.
Minutes of the intro, and yeah. Then we played the games at the end.
Right.
Yours, we recorded is probably an hour of talk, and then 15 of the quiz, and that was it. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
Brian's
2 hours. Brian records a lot more in the opening and closing than I recorded.
But not even like it was like we still recorded with him for 2 hours.
Hmm.
And I was giving him. I messaged our little thread. That I was giving him shit because like we were like 90 minutes in. He's like, we can't go scene by scene. I was like, yeah, we can't go scene by scene. I was saying to Joe, I think I might have said to Brian too, but like I was so sick that day, and we had recorded, that was the second episode in a row we'd recorded for 4 hours, that I was falling asleep while recording.
Oh man, I had no idea.
Because I was just like...
And you were asking me if I felt good enough to go for a second one in the row. You should have spoken up and said I needed to
call it. No, it was fine.
It.
But like, I thought we were going to do like... So originally what the plan was going to be was that Joe and I were going to do like, with the two of you, like our second half of the episode was going to be like an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And I figured Brian's would be like an hour. I was like, okay, cool, we'll be done by 11, you know, with a break in between, and like... We instead recorded the intro, then we did our episode, which ran a little bit long, then we did 2 hours of Brian's, and we finished at like 12:15. I was like, Jesus, man, like, I can't...
No.
Like, it was good. Like, I'm glad that we did it, but I was just like, that night I was just like dying. I don't know. But I was glad we did it. I think it worked really well. I think the three-part crossover. If you don't know what we're talking about, we did Tokyo Drift on three different podcasts. On Too Fast, Too Forever, High School Slumber Party, and Third Time's a Charm. I gotta go to Montana this summer and defend it on Real Bad. What's crazy, man, I'm looking on Rotten Tomatoes right now, is that Isn't It Romantic has a better score than, I think, both Happy Death Day and Alita.
That's very disheartening. It's very sad to hear.
They're all in the 60s, but it's like, you know, whatever. Rotten Tomatoes is a broken system. The Hoff Bros love it, but I don't. Cajun All Denim. Canadian Tuxedo. Shout out Lindsay Gibb.
Holy crap, yeah, look at him. He's wearing the Jay Leno collection.
Denim on denim.
Very nice. I'll pick up a peach at some point here. Come on, you know you wanna.
Maybe we should change peaches to peaches or fruit.
I think we might have. We might have changed it to fruit.
No, I think we did peaches or something. It was something also specific. He's got his pear again.
No, I don't know. I think we said peach or fruit. But we should just change it to fruit, though, or something. Peach or fruit. Even though a peach is a fruit. Oh, he's obsessed with the pears. It's the only food he had, so it's the only one he wants to eat. Reminds me of her.
We still get, like, dozens of downloads of this bingo card every month, and I don't know why. Like, it's just, I don't know who's using it.
Mm-hmm. Well, someone who had to have at least heard one of our bingo episodes, so they knew to download.
I have no idea. I mean, they're linked on every page. Like, there's ways for people to find it, but still, I don't know.
Oh, he's talking to his buddy.
We've got Soon coming out, I think, March 12th or something on Blu-ray is Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah, Between Worlds comes out next week on Blu-ray. Come on, that movie's a lot of fun.
No.
Yes. Come on, it's got Cage with the hose scene.
I understand.
Worth it. Reading his own poetry from the book of Nicolas Cage. Like, that was a blast.
I'm just looking forward to Spider-Man. Like, I feel
no,
like,
I know. I'm
know,
very much looking forward to Spider-Man.
Because last year, 2018, we had a new movie in January. We had a new movie in February, I think. Maybe we had one in either March or April. Like, we were ahead
of
the
rolling.
Curve.
It was rolling.
I know we're going to get there this year, but the going is slow.
And no new Cage yet, so, you know.
The exciting thing is that I think by mid-year-ish, we'll have a new Zack Attack, because I think Beach Bum comes out, I think, in March.
Mm-hmm.
So I figure by June or July, it'll be out on VOD and Blu-ray.
That's good.
And then this fall, Netflix bought the rights to Incredibly or Shockingly Evil, Vile, and Wicked, whatever. So this fall went by day and date. When it hits Netflix, we can record and release that weekend.
Sweet.
There's a couple of new Zack Attacks. Zack's Attack. You know, I was in Lego Movie. We're going to do, I think we mentioned on one episode, we're going to do for Magic Mike's, we're going to do Lego Movie, Lego Movie 2, and Lego Batman all as one episode, because like, he's not in any of them enough to like do
Yeah, he's in the new one the most, Channing. When he's mowing the yard.
With the Green Lantern just like in love with him. Because he disappears for a while, then he comes back at the end in the new one.
You know
that girl, the live-action girl, is Mooney from Florida Project. She's the main little girl Florida Project. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Brooklyn Pierce.
Oh, okay. I liked how they had Maya Rudolph as the mom. Wasn't it her?
Yeah, they don't have Will Ferrell. He just shouts up from downstairs at one point.
You hear him two or three times.
Yeah. I could eat a pear for days.
Just doesn't roll off the tongue to say, oh, there's another beach shot. All these beach shots, man. Screensavers.
There's him just walking over there.
They see him, though. And he knows they're there.
Is that Marco? That was Marco, wasn't
Holy...
it?
Holy! There he is! There he is!
Yeah, yep.
Oh, that was awesome! Holy shit! That's the first time we've clear-cut spotting.
Well, I mean, Pizza Guy and Matchstick Men.
Oh, right. Dude, well, I don't remember. We revisited that a while ago, like a year ago.
I think that might have been... Cage Club originally... Here he goes. When we're doing Cage Club originally, I was going very in-depth.
So do you think Marco replaced Cage as an angel, like he's standing in. That's wonderful. Next time I go to the beach, I got to try that.
He's so happy. He's like looking at Jake and Amy, proud of them.
Look at him, body surfing.
Yeah, without a...
That's the mark of someone whose true domain is the beach.
And then the shark from the shallow just comes up and bites him and eats him.
Or the Meg. Just chomps him in there.
Fucking Meg.
In one gulp. Don't you mean, oh, the fucking Meg. Gotta say it like Jason.
That's a cool way to end the movie. For Dawn.
Hmm.
You think for a person or for the time of day?
Probably the time of day.
It works both
ways. Best time of day. I mean,
there's a lot of the Dawn. You know, there's a lot of Dawn in here. So here we go. I don't think the titular line spoke. It did not have a flashback. No Elvis or the Beatles. Was not set at a holiday. There's no war. Whoa. I don't think anybody played a musical instrument.
I missed a lot of the same ones you did.
Accentuating an obvious specific word, maybe. But you know, who knows?
We didn't hear that. It
not our
Saturday
anyway. Film. Cage. Oh, Cage 8. I got that one. Cage grunts. Maybe. Oh, actually, he did grunt when he
woke
landed
up alive. Yeah.
Subtitles. No. Cage in jail. No. But I got, in addition to bingo, I have, including the middle space, 15 total crossed off.
All right, so no explosions, no Vegas, no billiards, no time jump, no gambling, no Twin Peaks, no bingo. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 with the free space.
We're always closely together, it's just that I get luckier.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
No, I rarely pick a good card. That's what it comes down to.
So go to cageclub.me, facebook.com/cageclub, or at cageclubpod on Twitter and Instagram. Find all 24 of our shows. We'll be back in 2 weeks for the Frozen Ground here on Cage Club Revisited. We'll be back in 4 weeks for the Humanity Bureau. Go check out our Zondali episode from 2 weeks ago. Soon, in the next month sometime, we will have Into the Spider-Verse.
Yes.
A full episode. We'll also probably revisit that sooner rather than later just because it's so good.
Yeah.
But, you know, I also wonder if we should save that because it is so good.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, who knows?
We could do a two-part cartoon thing with that and Teen Titans superhero.
The good ones, yes.
Cartoon superheroes.
But go to cageclub.me, email mailbag at cageclub.me, go to patreon.com/cageclub. If you write in, you know, we've got a couple extra of these Raising Arizona pins that co-host of Monkey Club, Christian Larson, sent us, that we had both bought
mm-hmm.
them, and he sent us two. If you write in, if you listened all the way to the end of the episode, write in, we'll mail you one.
Awesome. Yeah.
People don't write in.
Well, maybe that'll give them some incentive. We should say that at the beginning of the episode.
No, because I want people to listen to the end.
No, we should tell them to make sure and listen to the end. For a very special announcement.
I think we've tried that. We've also said at the beginning of every Hanks and Cruise episode, email us and we'll send you a prize. No one has.
All right.
I don't know. Whatever. We'll find our fans eventually. But cageclub.me, just poke around. Come back in 2 weeks for The Frozen Ground. Hope you enjoyed City of Angels, this weird, weird movie. That I do want to give us a little bit of credit, though, Mike. As the movie went on,
yep.
We talked more about the movie. We did our normal, like, spend an hour talking about literally anything but what we're watching.
Yeah.
But then as the movie sort of came together,
we got there again. Yeah.
But yeah, go to cageclub.me, poke around, mailbag at cageclub.me, and patreon.com/cageclub. We'll see you in 2 weeks for The Frozen Ground right here on Cage Club Revisited.